This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
The staff at Sydney Body Car Star understands that traffic accidents happen.
If you're involved in one, come to Sydney Body Car Star and relax. We'll take it from here.
Great growth in business led to recent expansion at Sydney Body Car Star, where you benefit from the very best collision repair technicians.
I take great pride in making sure that the details and color matches are exactly perfect.
Satisfaction guaranteed at Sydney Body Car Star.
Well, recently I had my vehicle there, and I was able to go online and view the progress they were making daily. This put my mind at ease and I was able to relax.
Using Sydney Body Car Star's advanced software program, AutoWatch, follow your car through the repair process from home.
Customers always come back and back and back at Sydney Body Car Star.
175 North Stolly in Sydney.
We're honest, we care, we're friendly and near, we're Car Star. Relax.
We'll take it from here.
Phone 492-4783.
Meet the team at Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine. Our physicians, trainers, and therapists are highly skilled and treat injuries unique to student athletes. Wilson athletic trainers serve specific schools and are on site at sports contests. The Injured Athlete Clinic is open Mondays. Sports enhancement programs boost strength, speed, and flexibility. Phone 937-498-5548 or visit wilsonhospital.com. Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine in Sydney, keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
Honey, why does the doorbell ring when I turn on the kitchen lights?
I rewired that. It should work now.
No, it doesn't.
Don't rely on short-term fixes that need long-term solutions. A U.S. Bank Home Equity line of credit may help turn the equity in your home into lasting improvements. Visit a U.S. Bank branch, usbank.com/dreambig, or call 800-209-BANK.
Home sweet normal home.
Some restrictions may apply. Subject to credit approval, mortgage and home equity products offered through U.S. Bank National Association, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center markets in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCal supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCal Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
Holloway Sportswear in Sydney features the full game plan of athletic apparel, bags, fan gear, warm-ups, outerwear, and much more. Deep color offerings, unbeatable quality, and the latest trends in high-performance fabrics. Holloway gets fans, coaches, and athletes to the bonus line with extras that help fashion their games. Check your local sporting goods store and rule the sideline with Holloway Sportswear. Download catalogs and view product videos at HollowayUSA.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
Well, good evening to you high school football fans. I'm Jack Kramer along with Chuck McBee. We speak to you tonight from Vandalia Butler High School, where Sydney 4-2 on the year tangles with Butler 4-2. The Yellow Jackets and Aviators go head-to-head, a very important game. The winner of this contest tonight will still remain in the Division II playoff picture for this region. Butler is seventh in the region coming into play tonight. The top eight make the postseason playoff. Sydney is 14th. The Yellow Jackets, with an advantage, so to speak, in the Trotwood, has already played Sydney. That game is under the Yellow Jackets' belt. The two teams met last week. It was an aberration for Sydney as the Yellow Jackets shot themselves in the foot early and often in that game, Chuck. We said before the contest, whenever you play the Rams, you must hang around for two or three quarters, put pressure on them late. Sydney needed a good beginning, didn't get it. must have a fine start tonight against a speedy, experienced Vandalia Butler team.
Well, that was the difference last week. I mean, Sydney, before the Trotwood game, had been quicker than everybody they had played.
Right.
Last week, team speed was definitely on the Trotwood side. Tonight, Butler has the same advantage, not quite as fast as Trotwood,
right,
but still, they've got the athletes and they've got the ability to get out there and do a good job of trying to slow down the athletes on the Sydney side of the field.
It's homecoming for Vandalia Butler. Good crowd on hand. Believe it or not, this is the first home game for the Aviators in 5 weeks. They've been away the last four.
It's a true homecoming.
That you would expect a nice turnout, and we've got it. Cloudy skies overhead. Very, very slim chance of rain. It's breezy from the north to the south. Could play a role in the kicking game and the passing game. Head coach Adam Dungis of Sydney will comment in just a few minutes about the fact his team needs to run the ball as well tonight as it has all year.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to run the ball. Last week, it took them a while to get started, and they moved the ball. They just could not score when they got down there. They did score some late touchdowns to make it a little cosmetic, but it was still 58-21.
You're right. The statistics at the end of the game
were close.
It didn't look like a Trotwood 4 or 5 touchdown win.
No, and that was because Sydney turned the ball over too much, and they allowed 3 huge plays for Trotwood. They scored on runs of 95, 87, and a 96-yard kickoff return. That's going to get you beat.
Speaking of a kickoff return, my goodness gracious, I had the play stopped at the 5, 1st and 10 Trotwood at their own 5, and I was embarrassed. The play is still going on. There was no forward progress whistle. There was no down on the ground with the knee whistle. There was no forward handoff or lateral whistle. And out of the pile came the UK commit for Trotwood. He rumbled 90 yards for a score, and it was all uphill for Sydney from that point on.
Well, I don't think you have to be embarrassed, because I don't think Sydney on the field knew that he wasn't down.
Right.
I think everybody quit, and all of a sudden the kid was just, see you later. He did wave, though, when he went by. So.
And head coach Adam Dungis of Sydney will also note in a few minutes that his club got together this week, talked about overcoming adversity, and that means stepping forward from last week's game, putting it behind you, and getting a big win on the road here tonight at Butler.
Well, and that's what you have to do. You got kids, and these are kids. They could dwell on that last week, but they have to understand. They like the adults understand. That's a Trotwood team that has now won, I think I'm correct, 33 straight GWOC North games.
Yep.
And most of those have not been close.
No.
So, you know, nothing to be embarrassed about last week, but they do need to come out and like you said, put that behind them, and because they're getting ready to play another really good football team tonight.
Speaking of Sydney's ground game, as we did a few minutes ago, quarterback Andre Gordon, running back Isaiah Bowser, both at 6 yards per carry on the year. A couple of very good linebackers for Vandalia Butler will be in the path of Gordon and Bowser tonight. You'll hear the names Nick Martin, Matthew Grossman. They also double in offense. They're the tailback and fullback.
Wow.
Two very good tacklers at linebacker for Butler. And Logan Flatt is a very good safety in the secondary for Butler. In fact, he returned to kickoff all the way to the 1 yard line last week against Piqua to start the second half off against the Indians. Butler scored. That was the only TD in the entire second half, and Butler won at Piqua by a score of 28-21. Of course, Logan Flatt and his teammates for Butler in the secondary will be tested by Daryl McNeil, Damian Duff, Alec Gordon of Sydney. A fine receiving core. It shapes up as an exciting game, Chuck. Who knows? It may take 4 touchdowns to win it. It was a thriller here 2 years ago.
Right.
Sydney lost out by a PAT, 20-19.
Yep, and you're right. And looking at it from the Butler side, they have got a spy on Gordon, because that kid in the backfield, if you allow him a little, any kind of a crack, he is gone. He is as fast as anybody I've seen in years.
It's going to be interesting tonight to see how much Andre Gordon has grown up, so to speak, since last week when Trotwood pinned him in between the hash marks. Andre had gotten outside against the likes of Toledo Waite and West Carrollton. He didn't get it done on the perimeter last week. He's got to become more of a true quarterback, and head coach Adam Dungis thinks he's making progress in that direction.
I thought in the second half, he threw the ball really well, and that's how they moved the ball and scored. He quit relying. You know, he has a tendency to get back there and ad lib, and that was okay against the five they played before.
Right.
It didn't work last week, and it's not going to work tonight either. You're right. He's going to have to be a full quarterback, not just a runner.
And Sydney's defense tonight will go up against a veteran three-year starting quarterback for Vandalia Butler in the person of Chandler Crane. He's a good one. Didn't throw it real well against the wind at Springfield, as head coach Greg Bush will note in just a few minutes. But when he had the wind at his back in that game, he was outstanding. He has thrown 9 interceptions this year, and Xavier Wise for Sydney's got 4 picks on the season, so keep all of that in the back of your mind.
Yeah, well, if Sydney's defense can get him a score or two, that would be a real plus.
And so many thanks to our great underwriting sponsors here with us tonight on ScoresBroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. American Architectural Glass in Clayton. Barker Insurance, North Edge of Sydney. Holloway Sportswear in Sydney. Local Equipment in Jackson Center. Sydney Body Car Star on Staley in Sydney. The U.S. Bank, 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District. Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney. The Sydney Daily News with the best sports page coverage around. Middendorf Builders, located in Fort Loramie. Call Mitch Middendorf for information about your custom home, and check with Mitch about beautiful wooded lots available in the new Anna Timber Trail subdivision, which is being developed by Mitch Middendorf at Middendorf Builders. And thanks to Goffney Furniture. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, Goffney Furniture in Sydney on Michigan Avenue to the west of I-75. That's Route 47. Just west of that exit, Goffney Furniture. Go to the website for added savings at Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. And a whole bunch of gratitude to these additional sponsors, Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville, Bluffton University's MBA program, Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place quite like it, Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, a world-class supplier, Clancy's in Sydney, which underwrites our postgame, nothing fancy, just fantastic food at Clancy's, Hickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, in Marysville. Frisch's Restaurant in Sydney. Hey, what's your favorite thing at Frisch's? And thanks to the In-Between just south of Botkins, where the food is not in-between, it's out of this world. The In-Between is our pregame sponsor. And John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. John Hemp Imagery gives you his best shot. And these Anna community sponsors, Adams Tech Solutions in McCartyville, On-Time High-Tech Computer Solutions, and Wells Brothers, Inc. in Anna, 8 expanding divisions, excellent workmanship at Wells Brothers, Inc. Well, we spoke with Adam Dungis, head coach at Sydney, earlier in the week. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, he talked about overcoming the adversity that his club had to deal with in the Trotwood game last Friday night.
It happened so fast. The snowball happened so fast. On all of a sudden, we're down 4 scores. And, you know, we played hard and we kept doing it. But when you're playing Trotwood, there's 2 things that have to happen. You have to get off to a good start, like you said, mm-hmm. and you got to build some confidence in your kids. And then your margin of error, number 2, is very, very slim. You can't have a missed tackle or 2 missed tackles or 3 missed tackles on one play. You can't have any blown coverages. You got to do the right blocking and all that on offense. There's no room for not many errors when you're playing them. So you got to get off to that good start, and you just have to minimize your mistakes. And we weren't able to do that. You know, I thought we played well defensively at times, and that's usually what people always say when they play Trotwood on the defensive side of the ball. Is, you know, we played really well until we had those 2 missed tackles on the one play. Well, that one play ended up turning into a 90-yard run in our case. And, you know, that's what they do. They're good at what they do, and they're going to continue to do it. And, you know, we're not the only ones that fell victim to that. But, you know, it's kind of aggravating. think it's been a while since we've beaten them, and not since I've been here. But, you know, the kids played hard, but we definitely got to start minimizing our mistakes.
As you mentioned a few minutes ago, it was a learning game for Andre Gordon. Not a bad game for him, but he made some progress, you'd have to believe, in terms of becoming a true quarterback.
Yeah, I think he, you know, got baptized pretty good in that game. You know, everyone, you know, Andre's very humble. He's always on a straight line. He doesn't get high when things are great. He doesn't get low when things are bad. He's a very, very mature kid for a freshman. And, you know, he got his first taste of big-time football. Their athletes were able to neutralize him pretty good. And, you know, he also made some pretty incredible plays against some of their guys, being outrun a D1 athlete a couple times, and made some good throws. And he was a little rattled there for the beginning. I don't think he'll admit that. But that first quarter got to him a little bit with the rain and the wind and the athletes that were over there. And then he was able to settle down. He made great progress this week. You know, I think it made him realize he's not going to be able to rely on his athleticism as much the rest of the way. You know, we're not going to face teams as talented as Trotwood the rest of the way athletically, but we're going to face good football teams that are going to key in on making sure they don't let him out of the pocket. And he did a nice job this week of being able to develop himself into a pocket quarterback a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. The score versus Trotwood a bit deceiving, because they took advantage of some unusual plays, some long plays, and short fields as a result of your mistakes.
Yeah, we, you know, in the end, if you look at the stats, we ran almost twice as many more plays as they did, and
sure did,
the
yep.
yardage was okay, but obviously the turnovers, the short fields, the special team stuff got to us, and that's all part of the game. But we did do some good things. You know, when you watch film, you point out the mistakes, not the mistakes as far as them just out-athleting us, the mistakes where we made our mental mistakes where we had to get better at, and that's something we've been preaching on. We're not a very good football team in that aspect of shooting ourselves in the foot, and if we want to, you know, win some games here the rest of the year, we're going to have to do that, because we're playing very good, well-coached teams the rest of the way that do a nice job of not making those mental mistakes.
Adam Dungis, head coach of Sydney, our guest before the start of tonight's game between the Yellow Jackets and Butler. You mentioned teams the rest of the way on your schedule. A good one tonight in the Aviators from Vandalia Butler. A lot of experienced players on this club. Numerous three-year starters.
Yeah, I think both of us are in the same boat. Both of us looked at this senior class as being one of our better ones in a while. A lot of us, you know, we went there 2 years ago and these seniors were sophomores. A lot of us had a lot of sophomores on the field at the time. I believe Coach Bush has got five or six kids as three-year starters. I got five or six kids that are three-year starters. And, you know, it's that time of year where you really start getting in your league schedule, the special time of year, we tell our kids, because, you know, you're going to turn around here in 2 months and play these kids in basketball. You're going to wrestle that kid in the 220 weight class. You know, you're going to see that kid on the baseball field. And, you know, we do our scouting reports for this kind of stuff. We start putting the opponent's kids' names in there. Usually it's just a number. Because, you know, we're not going to play Toledo Weight and anything else. Or St. Mary's, we don't play them a whole lot of other stuff. But, you know, now we're going to start seeing those same names come up whenever we play a kid another sport. And kids are excited. It's that time of year, like I said, where it really starts to mean something a little bit more with those conference games.
Yeah. On the Vandalia Butler roster, I recognize the name Nick Martin. Outstanding athlete, a young player you've got to block when he's on defense. You've got to tackle him when he's on offense.
Yeah, you can definitely tell he commands a lot of respect on that team. He, four-year starter, started as a freshman, blew out his knee, I believe, towards the end of his freshman year or sophomore year, one of those. And, you know, he does a nice job coming back, and he's a big kid. To play linebacker and running back at this level is not easy to do. You know, we had Jordan Fox a couple years ago as a quarterback and a linebacker, but, you know, he does a lot. You know, they'll give him a little bit of break here and there on offense, but him and the other linebacker, Flat, are two of the better linebackers coming downhill on run support that we're going to see this year. And, you know, our front five on offense are going to have their work cut out. I think their front three and two middle linebackers are heck of players, and we're going to have our work cut out tonight.
Yeah, quarterback is a veteran. He has thrown 9 picks. Maybe Xavier Wise can get his fifth tonight. Maybe your secondary can hound Crane, the senior QB for Butler.
Yeah, our secondary is kind of excited because, you know, this is probably really the only true dropback quarterback we're going to play this year. Most of the quarterbacks we've seen are guys that can move a little bit in the pocket, or they run a wing tee, or the quarterback, you know, the coaches don't ask that much for him. But Chandler is a dropback quarterback, and, you know, they're going to put the ball up probably 25, 35 times in this game. And our kids are excited for that opportunity because we don't get to see that many passes in the air against us.
Yeah, the aberration game is behind you. The Trotwood game was certainly that. Talk about the week of practice after Trotwood before
before Butler?
You know, our goal coming into the year is being in the middle of the GWOC North Championship, and obviously it's going to take a lot for someone to overtake Trotwood, but I guess the one way you can, you know, flip it is we've got them already out of our schedule.
Right.
You know, we're not starting off the league schedule 0-1 and still having to play Trotwood yet. We told the kids that, you know, there's still four more games left. If we can do our job and do what we want to do and try to win out, you never know. Someone may get Trotwood. It's going to take a down day on their part and a couple ball bounces the right way for the other team. But, you know, we want to put ourselves in the thick of that race. And, you know, if we don't come out and compete like we're supposed to tonight, that's all going to go out the window. So it was a good week.
I've got a feeling you need to run the ball better tonight than perhaps you have all year long.
Yeah, and, you know, Trotwood, you know, it was a very good defense. We're going to face that again tonight. And, you know, between Andre, Isaiah Bowser, and Connor Beer back there running the ball, you know, our offensive line is gelling together. They're getting better. We've got some good things going on with that O-line. And, you know, with that, it's also our perimeter blocking. Our receivers got to do a little bit better job of blocking downfield and taking a little bit more pride in that. And, running the ball tonight is definitely going to be a key.
Adam Dungis, head coach of Sydney. The Yellow Jackets losers to Trotwood last week, 59-21. Sydney now 0-1 in the GWOC North. 4-2 on the year and in contention for a postseason berth, having won four in a row over Bellefontaine, West Carrollton, Fairborn, and Toledo Waite before the setback last week at home to Trotwood Madison. In his eighth year as head coach at Butler is Greg Bush, and he is excited about this year's team, a club that's also 4-2, seventh in this region in Division II. And Coach Bush knows it's week 7 and the playoffs are a month away.
Yeah, it's a big game for both programs, you know. You got to win out probably to get in the playoffs, and you got to win out to be a GWOC North champs. So it's a big game, obviously. We had a good week last week, and we're hoping to continue that, obviously. And Sydney's got a good program, so we'll see how it plays out.
Coming off a nice win on the road at Piqua, you had a good start to that game. Your defense came to play third and fourth quarters, and you hang on to win it to 7.
Yep, that was a great defensive second half for us. Of course, the wind was a factor for both teams. Whoever had the wind to their back generally had a distinct advantage. And ironically, they had the wind to their back in the fourth quarter, but we were able to hang on and come away with a victory.
Among your tentative offensive starters, I recognize quite a few names, including the quarterback who's played at least 3 years for you, Crane.
Yeah, he's, you know, obviously he's a knowledgeable football player. He throws a good ball. Early on, with the wind to our back, he had a lot of success against Piqua. Into the wind, not so much. And likewise for Piqua. So, you know, hard to say, you know, if you watch the film, if you didn't know the wind was blowing, you think, is this the same guy throwing the ball? But in fact, the wind was knocking the ball down.
Sure.
On both sides. So,
sure. Butler style of play offensively.
Well, we're a little bit different this year. You know, we used to get in the eye and do a lot of old school football. This year, we feel like we have more athletes to get on the field, and so we spread them out more than we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And had some success with it. So defensively, we pretty much do what we've always done, and you know, try to get lined up right and find the ball and attack, make good tackles. So,
Greg Bush, eighth year head coach, Vandalia Butler High School, our guest before the start of tonight's game between Sydney and Vandalia Butler. Highlight some skilled players by name, young men we'll be talking about during the course of the play-by-play tonight.
Sure. I think, you know, obviously you're going to talk about my quarterback. He's going to throw the ball around to a lot of receivers. If you look at the stats, he spreads the ball around nicely. But, you know, Ballard and Lewis and Trey Sanders are favorite targets of his, those three. And they all have good sets of hands and run nice routes. Up front, you know, Tim Smith has done a great job anchoring us as a center. So I think, you know, he's going to be a factor. Defensively, of course, Nick Martin is back still at a linebacker. So, and so is Grossman. So those two will be hopefully be a problem for Sydney, as well as our nose tackle, Vinny Fiore, who's back again. And so we feel like we've got experience at a lot of places. There's obviously you know, you're not going to put 11 superstars out there, but we have 3 or 4 on both sides of the ball, maybe 5 at different places that are exceptional high school football players.
What strikes you as being different about tonight's opponent, Sydney, than in recent years?
Well, you know, they've thrown the ball a lot recently, and I think they're continually to do that. So, you know, they run a different defense than we've seen, I think, and that the 3-3 stack. And so, you know, we've had a couple days to prepare for it, and we'll see if we're ready or not, because we're used to seeing a 3-4 or maybe even some kind of 4-1 look out of our spread stuff. So we'll see how our O-line picks those up. They do a lot of blitzing out of it, which could be problems for us. Hopefully we get just enough crack to move the ball on the ground as well as in the air.
Injury situation, what's Butler like health-wise?
Well, we're pretty good. You know, we lost some kids at Springfield and Xenia those weeks, and most of those kids are back. One offensive lineman is not back, but he hasn't played. Some other kids have stepped in and done a nice job. So while we'll certainly miss him, the replacements have done a good job. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we fell apart, which I was really proud of our kids, because, you know, you start losing a starting offensive lineman, things can go wrong in a big way, and they didn't. So I'm happy for the replacements.
You know, the kicking game has been a big part of this contest, especially in recent years. 2 years ago right here, a one-pointer. Talk about your specialist for a moment.
Well, you know, we can kick the ball in the end zone, and so can they. I've seen them on film. They got a fine kicker. Their punter is really good, and our punter is really good. So I think that's kind of a wash. Now as long as it kind of boils down to who covers better. You know, is the kickoff team going to cover?
Yep,
is the kickoff return team going to block? You know, so in that way, the specialists who you normally think of on special teams, the punters and the kickers, I think it's even.
Yes, and very good for both clubs.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, both their punters are excellent. Our punter is excellent. Our kicker is good. So, I mean, that part will be even. I think we have probably worked on special teams more this year than we ever have.
Really?
And we've seen, you know, against Pickle, we got a big return, set the ball up in the goal line. Mm. Turns out that ends up being the difference in the game, mm-hmm. in the big picture, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, special teams have been good to us this year, and I hope to have success again tonight.
This very popular location for out-of-this-world food is right in between Bodkin's, Anna, New Bremen, and Jackson Center. But people come from towns everywhere.
My husband and I have heard about In Between's great reputation for years. We finally drove up to the In Between Tavern from 30 miles away late last year and have been here several times since.
And you too will return to the In Between for out-of-this-world chops, steaks, fish, chicken, and more.
I've been eating fried chicken at restaurants for nearly 20 years, and the In-Between has the very, very best chicken I think I've ever had.
Your whole family will like the In-Between.
Tonight, 7 of us, including 5 children, ate delicious pizza for less than $30. That's a super value.
At the In-Between, watch your favorite game on TV. In-Between those tasty bites.
The food at the In-Between is just out of this world.
At the south edge of Bodkin's, 25 and 274.
This is Scores, SCORES, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system.
I am Jack Kramer along with Chuck McBee back at Vandalia Butler High School, just a moment or two away from the opening kickoff of tonight's game between the Sydney Yellow Jackets 4-2 and the Butler Aviators also 4-2. Vandalia Butler broke a 2-game losing snap last week by winning on the road at Piqua 28-21 in the 2 prior weeks. Butler was beaten away from home at Xenia 38-21, at Springfield 51-13. And Butler won its first 3 contests of the season, beating Springfield Shawnee handily. Tecumseh in a 52-0 blowout won a close encounter at Wilmington 29-20. Greg Bush, head coach of Vandalia Butler, spoke with us a few minutes ago. We were outdoors at his practice on Wednesday when we conducted that interview, and he was actually on the job doing the coaching at his practice session when I was interviewing him at the same time, Chuck.
Well, I'm impressed that his language was good then, because I know when I coached, sometimes you might not have wanted to have me mic'd.
It was a 79-degree day Wednesday
it?
Afternoon when I was here.
Oh, it's coming back. It's supposed to be really nice. Monday's supposed to rain. Tuesday, Wednesday's supposed to be really nice again.
Tonight's weather, nothing wrong with it. A bit breezy out of the north. Cloudy skies overhead. Chance of rain is very, very slim. Well, Vandalia Butler kicks off to start the game from south to north.
Sydney's kicking off.
I'm sorry. Sydney will kick off to start the game from south to north. Butler will receive, so the Yellow Jackets will get the ball to start the third quarter. Opening kick, a high one, a short one, caught on the dead run at the 13-yard line by Logan Flat. He sprints up the middle. He breaks out of contain, gets wide, beyond the hash mark, beyond the numbers. A block or two at the 40. There he goes, all the way to the 50.
Sydney had him contained. They made contact. They didn't wrap him up, which drives me crazy. They tried to take him down with a big shoulder hit. The kid stayed on his feet and picked up another 30 yards.
Logan Flat returned the second half kickoff 1 week ago to the 1 yard line against Piqua. That set up the winning score. Of course, Sydney was victimized by Trotwood, a touchdown run opening kickoff last week at home. Rams turned that one into a 95-yard score. And right here to start the game, it's about a 30-yard return by Flat of Butler. Appeared to be stopped back at his own 25. And the first play from scrimmage by Butler is a productive run. And it's Flat who skirts left end. He bolts to the 40, and he slides ahead to the 35. He's got 15 big ones. And right away, Sydney's defense has its back to the wall. Chandler Crane, senior quarterback for Butler. Little misdirection, back to the left. The ball carrier gets a block, stays on his feet. Good balance being displayed. It's Nick Martin who rams down to the 24. He bulldozed for 11 more. Another first down.
How big is Martin?
And Martin goes about 6'2", 190.
Yeah, I was going to say, he looks like a large child out there.
He's a horse. He plays linebacker on defense, and he has been a thorn in the side of a number of GWAC teams during his career here at Butler. And here's the handoff on the play of the fullback, Matthew Grossman. He's stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Good hit right in the center, that defensive front, by Devin Rogers of Sydney. Javon Perk, Devin Santos, Devin Rogers up front for Sydney. The linebackers, Sam Nyswanger, third on the team in tackles, along with Tristan Carlson, Alec Gordon, and Dillian King, Damian Duff, Xavier Wise, Josiah Hudgens, and Isaiah Bowser round out the secondary. Here's Crane to pass on second down. A long, high lob down near the goal line. A great catch is made for a touchdown. Wow. Was that ever beautifully done by Butler?
He did the pump fake, and the back bit on it completely. That was stand there and wait for the pass to get to you. He was wide open.
Chandler Crane threw a long, high-arching bomb to one of his wide receivers. I think it was Noah Ballard. I might be mistaken. Butler lines up with a strange formation as if the Aviators are going to go for two. It's a trick play. It is a two-point conversion, and the pass is complete. Crane rolled out to the right some 7 or 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he's spotted in the end zone all by his lonesome Dustin Lewis, and he cradled the ball right into his chest. He was unmolested, and like last week, Chuck, Sydney off to a horrendous start.
That was not how they needed to start this game, that's for sure.
8-0 Butler, 10:52 left in the first quarter. We played just over a minute, and the Yellow Jackets are behind by a score here on scoresbroadcast.com.
The game of football requires speed, athletes that are fast and can outrun the competition. Digman Supply knows how important being fast is, not only in football, but when it comes to getting your order to you. That's why we have 10 trucks running the roads of West Central Ohio daily to get our large inventories to our customers. You don't win the game by being slow, and at Digman Supply, the word slow is not even in our vocabulary. Digman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
On the Dickman Supply scoreboard, Sydney trailing just over a minute into the start of this game. It's 8-0, Vandalia Butler. Kicking off is Regali of Vandalia Butler. A beautiful kickoff. It soars to the goal line, far corner of the field. Sydney returns it to the 15, and that's it. McNeil is tripped up right there.
Boy, when you see McNeil with that much room, you kind of hope he can break one, but that was a nice job of breaking down and making the tackle.
Well, it was a senior substitute back who was in the slot who caught the two-point conversion. It was John Anderson, a 5'8", 165-pounder for Butler. And Trey Sanders, very speedy wide receiver, a 6'1 sophomore who received the TD strike from Chandler Crane. Sydney's first play from scrimmage, outside left tackle Isaiah Bowser, and he charges ahead for three from the 21 to the 24, second down and 7 for Sydney. Man in motion, McNeil across the formation, snap back to Andre Gordon, the quick hitter, a pass in the right flat, complete along the line of scrimmage, and then a good sprint after the catch. Play good for 8 and a first down to about the 27-yard line.
Nice job. They got the ball out to Beer. He did a good job of making the first guy miss and got the first down.
And Connor Beer is capable of making a couple men miss and taking that to the house. Here's a long, wide rollout by Andre Gordon. He goes from one hash to the other toward the near sideline at the numbers, and then he cuts it back. He zips through the Butler defense for a quick 6 out to the 33. Second down and 4 for Sydney. Yellow Jackets in the road, white uniforms, black headgear, black numerals trimmed in gold. And here's the ball carrier for Sydney, breaking a tackle behind the line. It's Bowser, shakes away from another man. Look at him go. He's got a first down and then some to the 39. Oh, what a defiant run by Isaiah Bowser, who was nearly nabbed for a minus 2.
Yeah, they did a good job of penetration, but they just couldn't make the tackle.
9:40 left to go, first quarter on the Dickman Supply scoreboard, 8-0 Butler. Here's Gordon rolling to the right, being pursued by two Butler men. He gets the pass away, a short one. It's caught by Duff along the line of scrimmage at the 40, and he shoots ahead to the 46.
That's almost like an option play. He as soon as he saw that the end came on him, he threw the pass out to Duff. Nice design play.
And well read by Andre Gordon, quarterback of Sydney. Second and 4. Oh, here comes the blitzer. Crashing through. He nails Gordon back at the 39-yard line.
Gordon is tackled away by number 75.
Well, the Butler Aviators had a handle on that play. They snuffed it out, thinking Gordon might be throwing. And Torrin Fletcher came slicing through to make the hit on Andre Gordon. Sydney now confronts a 3rd and 11. Deep drop by Gordon. Here come 4 or 5 gold shirts and purple pants, and they catch him at the 30 and drop him right there. Another loss on the play for Sydney. This one goes back 10 more, and the Yellow Jackets have gone in reverse the last few plays and will have to punt from the 30.
Well, you can blame all that on the offensive line because he didn't have a chance to even get the snap and look up.
Not an opportunity at all. Santos back in punt formation, high hike to him. He reaches up to catch it at the 18, gets the kick away to flat of Butler in full stride, receives it at the 42. He's got an alley up the far sideline across the 50 to the Sydney 40 to the 35, flushed out of bounds into the Jackets bench.
Well, that's not a typical Santos punt, and the reason was the snap was so high. He did a great job of even pulling it in, and he kicked a line drive that right. Got him in a lot of trouble.
Yep. The coordination on that punt was not there. The snap was off the mark. Santos' timing wasn't good. He had to go out of his way to catch it. Punt was short. Good return by Butler. First play from scrimmage, running outside right tackle goes Logan Flat. He's the workhorse tonight for the Aviators as he bangs for 5 from the 35 down to the 30. Call it a pickup of 4, second down and 6. Just inside the Sydney 30, 7:40 to go, first quarter. Butler leads 8-0. Run blitz by Sydney, and the ball carrier is stalemated at the point of attack and thrown back for a loss. Wow, what a job on the play by the Yellow Jackets. Standout hit by Alec Gordon. He stifled that play, caused a loss of a couple, 3rd and a full 10 for Butler. Crane rolling left, sets up in the pocket now. Arches a long one down inside the 10. Butler receiver runs under it. He's got it at the 2-yard line. Vandalia Butler striking through the air with big plays. Noah Ballard on the receiving end for Ballard and Lewis and Sanders, a trio of outstanding wideouts for the Aviators.
And I'll tell you what, Crane throws a beautiful pass.
That was excellent. Here's a running play right up the middle through Sidney's defensive line. It's a quick touchdown for Butler. Grossman barged in from just a couple out. 5 minutes gone. Butler up by a 14-0 count. And now the PAT upcoming from Anthony Regali, a 5'10 senior. Oh, and Vendalia Butler lines up in another unusual formation and throws out of it. This one is much too high in the end zone, but a late marker is tossed to the ground. It looked for an instant like Butler would try the PAT. Chuck, I'm perplexed. You get 8 points on the first touchdown. Why in high school football would you feel compelled to go for eight again on the second one?
Well, and to me, if I'm going to run and go for eight or go for the two-point conversion, I'm going to run a play. I'm not going to run some gimmick thing.
Well, it's ruled
pass interference on Butler.
If an offensive interference call on Butler in the end zone, so the try for 2 points after, no good. And it's 14-0 Butler, 7:01 left in the first on scoresbroadcast.com.
U.S. Bank provides custom solutions to help you grow your business. Whether you've just started in a friend's apartment.
What do you mean there's no printer?
Or opened your first office.
We have a printer.
Or maybe you've opened a new location.
We have so many printers.
You'll have a business banker there to guide you every step of the way. Visit your local U.S. Bank branch or usbank.com/business. Credit products are subject to normal credit approval and program guidelines. Some restrictions and fees may apply. See your banker for details. Deposit products offered by U.S. Bank, National Association, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system.
On scoresbroadcast.com tonight, we say hello out there to Megan Snyder, wife of Sidney offensive coordinator Greg Snyder, down on the field helping Adam Dungis coach the Yellow Jackets. And right now, the coaching staff finds the club behind by two touchdowns. Here's the kickoff by Regali to the two. Returned up the far side by Sidney. Up over the 20, 25. Running to the 30 is Connor Beer. Out of real estate he goes into the sideline at the 31. And that's where the Yellow Jackets will start. First down, 10 yards to go. Well, Megan, we hope for a better start for you and the hundreds of Sidney fans tuned in tonight on scoresbroadcast.com. But Sidney trailing quickly. Just under 7 minutes to go, first quarter. 14-0 Butler. Here's Andre Gordon in the backfield, gives to Bowser, nothing up the middle. He springs it to the outside, and he does well to get five on the play. No, it was Connor Beer who tried to swerve around the end. He had libbed it nicely. The hole was supposed to be between left guard and tackle, not there, but Beer did manage five. Second and five from the Sidney 36. Andre Gordon rolling right. Pitches on the run. Receiver McNeil at the 39. Sheds a tackler. Another. Jukes one more man. He's at the 50. On the loose goes McNeil. 45, 40, 37 of Butler. That's the Darryl McNeil we've gotten to know, Chuck.
Yeah, I mean, he's as good an athlete as there is on the field, including last week.
Sidney needs to score a touchdown on this drive, I feel. Just over six to play, first quarter, 14-0 Butler. Here's the feed on the play, up the middle. It goes to Beer. Beer left guard. He's got a cavity. He kicks those legs hard through the hole to the 30. A gallop of eight by Connor Beer of Sidney. Nose tackle, Vinny Fiore in there on the hit for Butler. 5'9", 220-pounder. Gordon with a flat pass, complete at the 32. Run after catch inside the 30, 28, 27. It's McNeil. He's hog-tied and dropped, but he picked up about five and a first down. Coming up from the secondary was Dustin Lewis for Butler to make the tackle.
Tell you what, as a defense on either team tonight, there is not a huddle being had offensively. You better be ready to play right after the ball is set.
You're right. It's fast break, high octane offenses, both clubs. Delayed handoff, Connor Beer, no room to run. Flag comes in late. Loss of a couple of feet, maybe a hold against Sidney. Butler might decline it. Never know, might have been a face mask.
I was thinking face mask.
Ooh, it is. Sidney will take it. And the officials deem that was a 5-yard inadvertent face mask call. Down remains the same. First and 5 for Sydney from the 22 of Butler. 5:33 to go first quarter. 14-0 Aviators lead. Andre Gordon, offensive backfield, hands on the play to Bowser or Beer. It is Connor, and he's swung to the ground after gaining a yard. Second down and 4 for the Yellow Jackets outside the 20 of Vandalia Butler. John Anderson in there on the last hit for Butler. Gordon way back behind the line, rolling right, wants to throw. Flips it back across field, dangerous. It's against the grain, incomplete. McNeil went up, got a fingertip on it. Jump ball between him and two Butler men.
Now that was kind of a freshman decision to throw at that time.
Ooh.
Into the wind, across your body, and back to the middle of the field. Never works out too well.
Scary. That was like a Halloween throw. Third down for Sydney, 10 to go for a first down. Gordon takes the snap from center, back in the shotgun, and he runs it, tries to race around left end. He's tackled around the ankles and pulled down at the 22. He got about 5, but it's fourth down for Sydney, and at least 5 to go for a first down. Big play call coming up here.
Well, if we're doing Sydney and it's Halloween, we got to think about Megan Mummy.
Megan Mummy, the outstanding girls basketball coach at Sydney. We've got movement up front. Sydney a little indecisive during the cadence, and a pre-snap foul against the Yellow Jackets. That'll take the football back. It will be fourth and at least 10 now instead of fourth and 5. Line of scrimmage, the Butler 28-yard line. 4:20 to go here in the first quarter. Butler 14, Sydney nothing. Trips to the right for Gordon. Yellow Jackets in fourth down need a huge play. Gordon rolling right. He's not going to be able to run for 10. He's corralled over there. He jukes and jukes some more. He's hit, and he's finally derailed back at the 33. Nowhere to go for Andre Gordon. That was as much a coverage sack by Butler, which climbed all over Sydney's receivers. No one available downfield inside the 10. Gordon had to eat it. And the Yellow Jackets turn it over.
That's the third sack so far against the Yellow Jackets, and it's kind of like last week. We're watching it. They're keeping the ball. They're running a lot of plays, and they're putting no points on the board early here in the game.
It moved the football nicely between the 30s on that drive, but could not add points to the board. Butler takes over. Crane, the quarterback, way back behind the line. Delayed handoff. Running play of 1 or 2 for Grossman. A little extracurricular activity after the ball carrier is tackled away from the play. A Sydney player, a Butler player go at it. Got a little chippy after that run from scrimmage. Pickup of 2 for Grossman. Second and 8 for Butler. And big time premature contact as Rogers collides with Butler center before the hike. And it's going to be stepped off offside against Sydney. The Yellow Jackets encroach, so instead of second and 8, it's second down and more like 3 to go for a first down for Butler at the Aviators 39. Crane, the quarterback, in the shotgun spread. Alongside him is Martin. Two receivers flanked to the right. Snap to Crane. Flat pass behind the line of scrimmage. Receiver's got one man to beat. Oh, a textbook tackle. A lot of credit to Dillian King, Chuck. Boy, that was like a clinic on that hit.
He is an outstanding defensive back, and he's a great open field tackler.
Super play by King. And the ball carrier caught the ball at the 37. And he was upset at the 40. His shoulder pads landed at the 43. The officials initially signaled it was third and 1, but the chain is coming in from the sideline.
Well, from where the chain was set compared to where the ball is, I think it's going to be a first down.
So many thanks to Goffney Furniture on the air with us here on scoresbroadcast.com. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, Goffney Furniture, Michigan Avenue in Sydney. That's Route 47, west of I-75, Goffney. Featuring great value for your furniture buy. good prices, high quality furniture. You can't beat Goffney. And for added savings, go to the Goffney website, Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. It is a first and 10 for Butler from the Aviators 43.
I'm glad that all my $15,000 in eye surgery worked out. I could see that.
The measurement took place, and it was a first down by inches, as Chuck notes. Crane with a long, long cadence count here for Butler at quarterback on first and 10. Straight drop. He's back at his 32. Rifles middle of the field, beyond the 50. Receiver down on one knee at the Sydney 47. Gets it right at the first down marker. He's got 10 on the button. And it is a first down, I think, although the chain may be taken out.
This time I think it's going to be about the half a length of a football short.
You've got the glasses, I don't.
I
think that's a good call, Chuck. I think it is a bit shy. Fine reception on the play by Noah Ballard. He curled right in front of Nyswanger of Sydney. Sam belted him down just as the ball arrived.
Nope.
Oh, he's got it by an inch.
Tell you what, we saw Nixon from Minster the first game of the season, and I thought that kid just throws the heck out of it. This is the best passer I've seen this year.
Oh, he's got a beautiful-looking spiral, does Chandler Crane, the senior quarterback for the Butler Aviators. Two straight measurements, two straight first downs for Butler, 47 of Sydney. Crane going up top again. He's trying the home run ball. Near sideline, down at the 20. Uh-oh, Sydney perhaps guilty of pass interference. Xavier Wise was one-on-one with Sanders. He leaned on him as the ball was in the air, and Sanders started stumbling. It drew the official's attention. And it's going to be a 15-yarder from the line of scrimmage.
Yes, to that was a, I can understand why they called it, because he fell, but I think he lost his balance before any contact was made.
Yep, I'd agree with you, Chuck. It was more marginal than I think the Butler fans would say. And from the Sydney side of the field, it looked like a no-call. Here is a sweep around right in. And Butler generates good yardage out inside the 30 to the 26. It was Logan Flat. He got the corner for five. He was met on the play by Santos and McNeil, who came up to smack him.
He does a great job of getting his shoulders turned. That looked like it was just going to be taken all the way to the sideline. Got his shoulders turned, got 5 yards out of it.
Strong run by Logan Flat of Butler. Second down and five. 2 minutes left, first quarter. Inside handoff is Grossman or Martin. Stood up at the 26. Very small advance, minimal gain. It's going to be third down and about 3.5 to go for a first down for Butler. We're all the way down to a minute 45 to go in the first quarter. Time-consuming, lengthy drive here by the Aviators, who already lead 14-0.
Well, both teams run the ball quickly, and there's only been one incomplete pass by both quarterbacks.
Short pass, right flat. It's a good one, right on the money at the 21. A safe throw, good enough for five, and a first down. Tyler Burley out of the backfield, a 6'2 junior, hauled it in. This Butler passing game, Chuck, is difficult to slow down. I think there were seven receivers on the roster who caught six balls or more from Crane this year. And here's a running play back to the near side. Good for seven, but a hold against Butler.
I'm surprised he's thrown nine interceptions with the control he has.
Yeah. Mean,
there must have been some rainy, windy nights where he threw them.
That play registered a good gain of at least six, but during the run, a holding foul committed by Butler. And it goes against one of the offensive linemen. Tim Smith, the center, is the guilty party. Tim Smith, senior center, 5'10", 210. Curtis Davis, a tackle, 6'3", 255. That's the muscle on that offensive line for Butler. First and 20, Aviators. Crane, deep drop. Shoots a pass across the far hash to the numbers. Yes, it's caught. Good reception. Well-run route. Sydney jumps the receiver right away to make the tackle. but it was Aaron Fields, a 6'2 junior, who hauled it in, and he got back the 10 on the holding call.
Gordon and Carlson combined for the stop.
Second and 10 for Vandalia Butler. 30 seconds to go, first quarter. Line of scrimmage, the Sydney 20, just inside it. Crane wants to pitch it again. He's back at his 28. Lobs it near sideline. Completion at the 18, but an immediate tackle on the play by Sydney. Lewis received it again. King knife through, upset him. Very tiny gain of just a yard. So it's third and 9 for Butler. We're in the last 8 seconds of the first quarter. The Aviators may elect to wait till the start of the second quarter, and Butler does just that. Vandalia Butler, 14. Sydney, nothing after one on scoresbroadcast.com.
Your glass connection is American Architectural Glass in Clayton.
Here at AAG, we specialize in commercial glass and glazing projects.
Jason Meyer of AAG.
We complete work throughout the state, and currently we are doing work as far north as Findlay, Ohio, down to as far south as the Hocking Hills region, and we're getting ready to undertake a couple projects at Ohio State.
We're here at Deany Community Schools. We recently constructed 5 elementary buildings, and American Architectural Glass installed all of the windows in 2 of these buildings, including the beautiful colored glass panes in our media centers.
AAG's trademark is great customer service.
We pride ourselves on following up with the customer long after the project is complete, and I think that's what stands us apart from many others.
We were extremely pleased. The workmanship was excellent. AAG has helped us create a safe, warm, inviting learning environment for all of our students.
American Architectural Glass, on the web at AAGinc.com.
So many thanks to AAG Inc., American Architectural Glass in Clayton. Owned by Jason Meyer of Fort Loramie, we congratulate him, all his staff and associates at AAG Inc. Thank you very much for being a major underwriting sponsor here on scoresbroadcast.com. Second quarter underway. Butler with a 3rd and 9. Here's a pass to the near hash mark at about the goal line, and Sydney covers it beautifully. Incompletion.
It's a first miss.
Well, Crane had been on target. Play
8 for 8 going into that one.
Wow. He had been blistering the air with perfect throws. He comes up empty here. And on to try a field goal of 35 yards against a slight wind is Andrew Boren.
I would watch the fake because I watched him kick, and from 40, he wasn't coming close.
Here's a good snap from center. Ball is spotted down. Oh, the kick is blocked. It's batted way, way up into the air, and Sydney catches it downfield 10 yards and runs it back out over the 30 to the 34. Yellow Jackets block the kick and then take it out of midair after it is deflected. On the rebound, McNeil scoots for a good 20 yards. Sydney with good placement now on the field, out at the Jackets 35, 1st and 10. Sydney needs to get points on this drive.
Yes.
And, of course, we said that, Chuck, the first 3 times Sydney had the ball last week against Trotwood.
They never did.
And Jackets didn't get points on those drives and fell way behind and simply could not recover. Here is the quarterback, Andre Gordon. Hands it off on the play to Bowser, 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he is pinned to the turf immediately.
Score from Greenville at the end of 1. It's Piqua 14, Greenville nothing.
Piqua Indians on the road in the GWAC North, winning tonight over Greenville after losing to Butler 28-21 a week ago. Gordon with a deep drop on 2nd and 12, way back behind the line of scrimmage. He runs near side, short side of the field. No green there. He's out of room and out of bounds. 25-yard line. Sydney going in reverse on 2 straight plays to start this drive. 3rd down and 19 to go for 1st down. And here come the Butler linebackers on this play. Trips to the left for Gordon. Boy, he needs time to uncork this one. He's back at the 15 to throw. Looking. Good coverage by Butler. Gordon tries to run. He does to the 30. Being pursued. Look at him go. Splits defenders. He's still buzzing his way up the field. Look at the Yellow Jacket go. Andre Gordon to the Butler 45. And a swarm of Butler Bees finally tackle him. But my goodness, what a dazzling run by Andre Gordon.
Well, you can stop him sometimes, but he's going to break one on you sooner or later because he is as quick as there is.
And it goes for, what, about 35? My goodness, did Sidney ever need that one? Right up the gut, running play. It is Isaiah Bowser. Hits the hole, backpedals to the 40 inside it, and he garners 7 or 8.
They had negative 6 yards rushing because of the sacks before that 30-yard run.
Sidney needed that dash by Gordon in the worst way. Then Bowser, with a formidable effort on the ground, comes back with 8 more. Gordon being harassed in the offensive backfield. He's cornered. No room available. He's dropped at the 42. That's a minus 4 or 5 on that play. Sets up 3rd and 8.
They have 5 sacks now, the Aviators.
Sidney going backward on too many plays tonight. Butler's defense has come slicing through to track down Gordon on several occasions. Here they come again. Pass in the flat to McNeil. McNeil with a great catch behind the line of scrimmage, and then he's knocked down. He gained 1, and that's it. Perhaps didn't even gain 1. Call it no gain at the Butler 44. It's 4th and 9 for Sidney. That was the jailbreak screen, and Butler was tuned in.
They were ready for it.
Santos back at his 44 to punt. 2.5 gone, second quarter. Vandalia Butler 14, Sidney nothing. Snap to Santos, kick away with the wind. Superb boot to the 8. Butler on the return to the 15. And the returner is corralled at about the 17-yard line. It was Fields bringing it back. Short advance inside the 20. Butler starts 1st and 10. And again, Chuck, I implore for Sidney to make a statement. Jackets need a pretty quick 3 and out, if not the first 3 plays, the second 3. Sidney needs to generate some confidence and get points on the board.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a pick 6 here soon.
Just over 9 to play in the second quarter. 14-0 Vandalia Butler. And we have a timeout by Sidney before Butler starts this offensive series. 14-0 Aviators early on second quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
An attractive, comfortable place for your new home is Timber Trail in Anna. Middendorf Builders in Fort Loramie will construct some of these beautiful new homes right off 25A.
Timber Trails is located very conveniently near I-75, Honda, and the schools.
Anna Village Administrator Nancy Benroth.
One of the major pluses for those living in Anna's new Timber Trail subdivision is the high quality of education available.
Just one of many reasons why you should consider one of these 30 scenic lots developed by Middendorf Builders.
Anna schools have consistently received a state report card rating of excellent.
Timber Trail, created by Middendorf. A superb new home setting with big tax savings.
The lots are at least a half acre, and some of them are wooded. A bonus is that they get property tax abatement for at least 4 years.
Property for sale now at Timber Trail in Anna, Village Utilities and Safety, plus Country Living in Style. Call Mitch Middendorf at 937-295-4219. 295-4219. Middendorf Builders, the household name in building.
After the timeout, Vandalia Butler's first play from scrimmage is a short yardage advance by Logan Flatt as he nestles forward, maybe for 1. 2nd down and 9 for Butler from the Aviators' 19-yard line. 8.5 to go, second quarter. 14-0 Butler. Here's a draw play by Crane, the quarterback, and the Sidney Yellow Jackets are all over it. Nobody up front fooled on that play by Butler. Delayed handoff to Grossman, the fullback, in the offensive backfield. And he was met solidly by Perk and Rogers of Sidney as they crack him with the shoulder pads right at the line of scrimmage. Maybe a loss of a foot or two. Call it Third and 10 for Butler. Sidney's got to get a stop at three and out. A little pressure on Crane. He's way back into six. He tries to break out of trouble. Dusts off one man. Sheds another tackler. And he's thrown down at the 11. As Sidney came breaking through, harassing the quarterback, Crane, Chuck, he was nearly caught way back at the 4 or 5.
Yeah, he did a good job of escaping the first time, but he had no chance to throw the football. Good pressure by the Yellow Jackets.
And now Sidney promises to get excellent field position. McNeil is at the 45 of Butler. Here's the kick away. Punted from the end zone, end over end. McNeil catches right at the 45, up the middle, between the hash marks. Gets a block, another one. He weaves from the 45 to the 40, 35, 30 to the 28. He's caught there. It was a fairly low kick by Butler. Not good coverage downfield. Boy, McNeil caught it, and away he went.
I like the fact that he went north and south instead of trying to dance around. He got as much as he could possibly get out of that.
Exactly. Had he gone east or west, he might have gotten several yards, but he certainly would not have gotten better than 15. Here's a deep drop by Gordon. Shoots a pass, middle of the field, deflected, intercepted by Butler at the 11, and run back big time. There's a convoy of blockers for the return man on the intercept. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. Down inside the 35. Bounced out of bounds at the 24.
Gordon had his man open in the middle of the field, and he just threw it a little too high.
Yep, the throw was clearly off the mark. Interception made at the 11. And we'll try to get clarification on who the young man was for Butler who snared it. Interception Aviators. And the return after the pickoff went for a good, oh, wow, close to 60 yards. Here's Crane. Very deep drop. Handoff way back behind the line of scrimmage. It's a busted play by Butler. Sidney is racing through to spill the ball carrier. Alec Gordon is all over the Butler ball carrier, Martin. He is decked way back at the 36, an aborted play there.
Yeah, he would have been better off just going ahead and going to the side it was called on. He tried to reverse it, then he lost another 6 yards.
6.5 to go, second quarter. 14-0 Butler. Yep, Sidney had excellent field position. A couple plays ago, down inside the 30 of Butler, Andre Gordon with a pass over the middle that was high, and that oftentimes can spell danger. It was tipped and picked off. Here's Crane, a long, high, arching throw down inside the 15 to the 10 at the boundary. No good, incomplete. Sidney with a trio of defenders covering.
Third down from the Aviators.
Well, Vendalia Butler's last possession, or I should say two possessions ago, was this deeper into Sidney territory. Sidney held, blocked a field goal. Now Butler's got third down and about 14 to go for a first down at the 36 of Sidney. Trips to the left for the quarterback. Crane has time. It is 44. Oh, it's an out pattern. He throws that a long way across the field, off the mark at the 27. Would have been well short of a first down by a good 9 or 10 yards. Play would only have gained 8 or 9. And now Butler is confronted with fourth and a bunch. Line of scrimmage, the Sidney 36. And the punter is on now for the Aviators. Lewis will take the long snap back at the 50. McNeil stands to get this ball down inside the 10. Kick by Lewis, sails over McNeil's head. Oh, it takes a sideways bounce at the 4, and Butler is able to circle it and touch it down at the 2.
Wow, nice punt.
Expertly done by Butler's punt team.
McNeil did the right thing. It was over his head at the 7, so he just went ahead and called for a fair catch and let the ball go. But
Darrell tried to decoy Butler into thinking that the ball was going to sail right through the end zone. And like Chuck McBee's pitching wedge, that ball hit down inside the 5. Got a little divot right there, and sat on the two. And Sidney tries a running play over right guard. Forward progress. Oh, there is none. And the play is snowed under at about the goal line. Aviators want a safety call. It's not ruled. A loss from the two to the one. Nick Martin, the very good linebacker for Butler, tackled Bowser. And now Sidney from the end zone has a second and 11. Andre Gordon's 9 yards deep in the end zone, being chased. Fires a wild pass up the field, incomplete on the turf
now,
at the 25.
I know in college and professional, a hold in the end zone's a safety.
Exactly.
I don't know if it is in high school.
I don't know either. It could very well be. There it is. There. Safety. Yes, indeed. We're all over it, Chuck. The penalty marker thrown in the end zone against Sidney. Andre Gordon running for his life. He was beyond the yellow line for the soccer field, a good 8 yards deep in the end zone. He was that close to going out of the end zone, and he was being harassed back there. Sidney was guilty of holding to make sure Andre wasn't tackled. He threw an errant toss. The officials were all over it, holding against Sidney. It's a two-point safety for Butler. Sidney must boot from its own 20. Under 5.5 to go, second quarter. It's now Butler 16, Sidney nothing on scoresbroadcast.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sidney, phone 492-1857.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
So many thanks to Barker Insurance, a fine underwriting sponsor here on ScoresBroadcast.com. For 3 straight years, Barker Insurance in Sidney, the number one most valued agency in the area. Barker Insurance will customize an auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance program for you. Representing firms like Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Ohio Mutual, and others, just to name several. You're covered with a plan fitting your needs perfectly when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, north of Sidney, County Road 25A, a mile north of I-75. Number one, Barker Insurance at 937-492-1857, 492-1857.
Well, after the kickoff, after the safety, they had to kick off from the 20. They tried a pooch kick, which almost worked, and I think it made more sense than trying to kick it long and only having them have a 60-yard return on a regular kickoff. So I think that was a good strategic play by the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, Sidney with pretty good coverage on that pooch punt. Vandalia Butler bobbled it out of bounds. Sidney couldn't reel it in before the football left the field of play. Butler possession at the Aviators 48 after the punt following the safety. The boot was from the 20, of course. Here's a fake on the sprint draw. Then a pass by the quarterback, Crane. A hitch pattern run by the receiver off his fingertips at the 47.
I'll tell you what, if there's a cheerleader fight tonight, I have never seen this many cheerleaders in my life. Butler has 34 girls down there on the sideline.
Well, it's homecoming, and they've been waiting for this one for 5 weeks, having been on the road 4 in a row. And you're right, it is a cheerleader for every yard on the field from the 50 down to the 20. Second and 10, Butler at the Aviators 48. Delayed handoff, Grossman offensive backfield. Sidney with good penetration. They stand him up at the 45. It was Martin, not Grossman, a loss of 3. Sidney spying on Martin on that play. Third down and 13 for the Aviators. Right in the middle of the field between the hash marks on the big blue Butler B outlined in gold.
Well, their last 4 running plays, the Butler, they've lost yardage.
Third and 13. 2 receivers right. Crane with a middle screen. Very deep drop. Oh, it's well executed. Caught. There's a block. Another block. Good run after a catch over the 50. 45-40. Tackle made, but it's way too late. Dawson Vandervoort, a 5'10 junior backup running back, caught it. And he was not noticed by the Sydney defense, and Vandervoort reeled off a huge gain. Down inside the 40 to the 39, he got the first down. Play picked up about 15. Running play, Butler Martin goes barreling over left tackle. He's beyond the linebackers of Sydney, caught by Xavier Wise down at the 33. That play goes for seven more. We near the four-minute mark. Second quarter, 16-0 Butler. Two receivers to the right. Handoff on the play, Martin. And Martin goes barging between left guard and tackle, puts the head down and digs to the 28. He's got a first down. Down to 3:58 and counting. Running out of time late in the second quarter. In there on the last hit for Sydney was Lorenzo Taborn. Well, Vidalia Butler, as Chuck noted, had had the running game stall out for several plays. Now they try to get it back into gear. Here's a pass behind the line of scrimmage. It is caught at the 32. A run after catch over the line of scrimmage. Ballard on the receiving end, and he wedges downfield for a plus three. Ballard is the young man who made the interception in this quarter and ran it back better than 60 yards. Second and seven. Here's an attempted sweep. Left end, it's Martin. He springs it wide, wants to cut it, can't do it. Near sideline into the Butler bench at about the 20. Boy, he ran all the way across the field, Chuck. Small net gain of only three. So it's second down and seven for Butler. 20-yard line of Sydney. Yellow Jackets down 16-0. Cannot afford to give up another score before the half.
It'll be third and one for the Aviators.
Third down and one, my mistake. I said second and seven. Those were the numbers before that play by Martin. Sydney standing tall thwarts that running play by Martin. They helmet him to the turf right at the 20. A loss of a foot or two. So it's going to be fourth down for Butler and a couple to go for a first down. 2:49 to go, second quarter. Huge play for Sydney's defense. Last tackle made by Javon Perk as he lowered the boom on the ball carrier for Butler. Fourth down. About two to go for a first down. Crane's got trips to the right. Let's see if he'll throw. No, it's a quarterback run right up the gut. He's hit at the 20, and then he is twisted forward to about the 17-and-a-half. Chuck, I think he got it.
Second effort, he got his back turned and he fell forward. That got him the first down.
Contact initially was at the 20. Looked like he might be stalemated for no gain, but he gets the plus two and a first down for Butler. Outside the 15, Crane zips a pass to the right. The receiver catches behind the line at the 21, and a trio of defensive backs for Sydney are right there. Tackle made at the 17. Second down, eight for Sydney, or I should say for Butler, as drifting out into the flat on that last play was Santos to make the tackle. Carlson assisted. Minute 50 left to go, second quarter. Second and eight, Butler. Deep drop, McCrane. Here comes pressure. He eludes it, throws it back edge of the end zone, beyond the end zone, incomplete.
Third down for Butler.
Fine play by Sydney's defensive front, Chuck, as the heat was put on Crane.
Yeah, he had to throw that sooner than he wanted to.
As Alec Gordon and Sam Nyswanger came blitzing in there. Third down, 8 yards to go for Butler, outside the 15 of Sydney. Minute 44 to go, second quarter. 14-0 Butler. Here's that middle screen again. It's caught at the 17. Good run after catch. There's a block at the 10. The receiver's at the 5. The 4 knocked out of bounds at the 3. Oh, that's the second well-executed middle screen by Butler in this quarter. Vandervoort on the first one. This time it was flat. He got the first down with yards to spare. goal to go Butler at the Sydney 3. High snap to Crane. Gives it middle to Martin. Martin, the fullback, lurching to the end zone. Ball comes out after he breaks the plane. Touchdown, Aviators. Nick Martin took it in from 3 yards out. Minute and a half to go, second quarter, 22-0 in favor of Butler. Extra point try coming up here for Boren. Butler initially had spread offensive people all over the field. But now the traditional alignment and the kick, but Boren very low, might have been tipped. No good. Webb Sydney is down by 3 touchdowns. The Yellow Jackets will need at least 1 2-point conversion along the way after one of the 3 scores to get even. It's manageable, but Sydney's dug itself a big hole like a week ago. 22-0 Butler on scoresbroadcast.com.
A master's in business administration from Bluffton University can make a big difference in your life.
I really benefited from the master's degree at Bluffton University. It opened doors for me for career opportunities and expanded my earning power.
Gene Heath, director of cancer care at the Upper Valley Medical Center, says the Bluffton program is convenient. Finish in 2 years, go one night a week.
I was able to continue my career, raise a family, and earn a master's degree all at the same time.
Take Bluffton MBA courses at Edison and Pickwick, Northwest State in Archbold, or the Bluffton main campus. Engage in interactive learning from outstanding university professors.
Career-minded adult students want collaboration in the classroom. This Bluffton program provides a rich, in-depth learning experience.
Phone 800-488-3257 or go to bluffton.edu. Under academics, click on degrees, then graduate programs.
Do it like I did in 2 years, just a class a week.
The Bluffton MBA with YOU in mind.
The Yellow Jackets need a super return on this kickoff, and it's brought back from the 10 to the 35. It's McNeil who sprinted a 25-yard bring back. First and 10 Jackets at their own 35 with 1:26 to go in the second quarter. 22-0 Butler in the lead. Trotwood had a lead of 3 touchdowns, Chuck, last week in the first 4.5 minutes.
Yeah, this is kind of deja vu all over again.
Sydney to the line of scrimmage. Snap back to Andre Gordon. Gordon keeps, rambles to the line, over it. He garners 3. Second down and 7 at the 37. Keep in mind now, Sydney kicked off to start the game. Yellow Jackets will get the ball to open play in the third quarter, and it's going to take a marvelous comeback by Sydney tonight to beat Butler, which has played extremely well. Here's Gordon, back to throw, rifling over the middle, out near the 50, and it's a leaping snatch by Alec Gordon. Andre to his brother, a good gain, a first down, 48-yard line, 57 seconds to go in the half. Butler leads it 22-0. 3 receivers left. Andre Gordon being chased. Lofts a pass, far hash mark. McNeil catches, tries to squirm upfield for additional yardage, does so. It's a gain of 12 to the 40 of Butler.
Last time we were here when McNeil was a sophomore, he was amazing on this field.
Yeah, he had a dynamic night. He zigzagged all over the gridiron here at Butler. Here's Gordon zigzagging way back behind the line of scrimmage. Nearly tackled, breaks out of contain. There's one marker, clearly a hold on Sydney. Gordon winds up racing to the far side. My goodness gracious, he ran about 45 or 50 yards. Made a good gain, but it's for naught.
Wow.
Very clear-cut holding way back behind the line.
Yeah, he was in trouble. And as an offensive lineman, you protect your quarterback, and he just reached out and just tackled him.
Yeah, he extricated himself from 3 gold jerseys back at the 50, thanks in part to an obvious holding by the Yellow Jackets. 26 seconds to go first half. Sydney quickly to the line of scrimmage, which is now at the Jackets 45. First down is at the 30. End zone is 55 yards away. Andre catches. Oh, it's a hook and ladder. Reception made at the 50, then a pitch out. And it is a net gain of about 8. Just not quite enough room on the far side of the field in front of the Sydney bench to make it work.
We got another flag laying out there, too.
McNeil caught it, lateraled to Beer. Connor stepped out of bounds at the 48 of Butler with 12 seconds to go. As Chuck pointed out, a marker was down. Now it's waved away. Timeout called with 12.4 left to go in the first half. And Sydney down 22-0. An opportunity for us to tell you about your night spot to eat tonight after the game. Brookins in Fort Loramie. Some of you may have heard about Brookins. Some of you haven't. For those of you who have not been told all about Brookins in Fort Loramie, it has been a fixture in downtown Fort Loramie since the late 1800s, way back when mules still pulled canal boats down the Miami Erie Canal. And Brookins has many old local pictures of sports teams on its walls, right beside the pics of the current Redskin teams. And nowadays, Brookins is the place to be for enjoying some roasted chicken dinners, plus many specialty sandwiches, pizza, and the pork chop special on Saturday night. Your food is cooked fresh. You can sit back, relax, have an appetizer while you wait, because you see, Dale and Joyce Barhorst have owned and operated Brookins for 11 years, putting their heart and soul into creating a fun, family-friendly atmosphere at Brookins. Brookins, also the ideal spot to reserve for family gatherings, birthdays, anniversaries, wedding rehearsals, and more. The banquet room at Brookins seats up to 60, and the spacious second floor also available. With over a century of rich history and plenty of roasted chicken and Brookins burgers to go all around, there's just no place like Brookins in Fort Loramie at 10 Elm Street on the web at brookins-usa.com. Well, Sydney runs a play, gets a timeout from the 42 of Butler. It will be third down for the Yellow Jackets with 4.8 remaining in the half, and Sydney down by 22-0 count.
Well, they got a third and 12, but it's not the distance. They're going to have to throw the ball into the end zone to have any chance of scoring here. And then, you know, if they could do something here and then get the ball to start the second half, they got a shot.
Again, this reminder, Sydney does get the football to start the third quarter. Butler will kick off to open play in the second half. And Sydney must take that football down the field and put points up on the board to cut the deficit from 3 scores to 1. Here's a pass by Andre Gordon way back on the other side of the 50. He loops it to Bowser, who drifts downfield out of the backfield. He receives it at the 25, tackled immediately. Butler kept him in front, and the first half closes out. It's been all Vandalia Butler, first 24 minutes of this game. 22-0 Butler over Sydney here at the half on scoresbroadcast.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center, Market. It's in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCal supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCal Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
What makes the taste of Frisch's onion rings so colossal? Well, we start with the biggest, best onions. Farm-grown, colossal onions. We slice them to just the right thickness, then hand-bread them fresh, never frozen, and fry them to a delicious golden brown. It's the only way to make sure you get that signature snap in every bite. At Frisch's Big Boy,
We wouldn't do it any other way.
What do customers say about Sydney Body Car Star? Do not waste your time going anyplace else. At Sydney Body Car Star, we repair all makes and models of cars and work closely with most insurance companies. Sydney Body Car Star offers towing assistance and rental car service. Accidents happen. Relax, we'll take it from here. Car Star, North America's auto body repair experts. Sydney Body Car Star at 175 Stolly in Sydney. Phone 937-492-4783.
This is Jack Kramer along with Chuck McBee here at Vandalia Butler High School on ScoresBroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system. Well, the Sydney Yellow Jackets have not beaten Butler since 2009 when Sydney won here by a score of 21-14 in overtime. And it's going to be a difficult task here tonight for Sydney to get a W and advance to 5-2. And go to 1-1 in the GWAC North because Butler has played extremely well, got off to a good start. Sydney didn't. And Butler is up by a 22-0 count here at the halftime. Understand that Fort Loramie leads Ridgemont 21-0. 21-0 Loramie over Ridgemont. That is now at the half. Anna early on has a 7-0 lead over Delphus St. John's. Of course, Layman Catholic is playing at home right on the Layman High School campus tonight against Dola Hardin Northern.
And this is their homecoming, and they're playing it out there?
Wow. Right there on the campus. In fact, we'll have offensive coordinator Bill Zimmerman on the air with us shortly via a pre-recorded interview. He'll recap that game last week when Layman Catholic won on the road. An upset over Riverside, 26-21. We'll hear from Bill in just a few minutes. Right here, it's 22-0, Butler over Sydney. Our halftime report is brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine. Keeping athletes healthy and in the game is Wilson Health Sports Medicine, a proud underwriting sponsor here on ScoresBroadcast.com. Chuck?
Well, I mean, it's a kind of a mirror of last week. They're not down as bad as they were last week with Trotwood. But the stats, Sydney's run the ball 18 times for 32 yards. That's a little misleading because five sacks take yardage off of the rushing yardage. Butler ran the ball 20 times for 40 yards. Both quarterbacks had good first halves. 9 of 11 for Gordon, 96 yards. Butler was 12 of 17 for 120. 160 total yards for Butler, 128 for Sydney. 10-9 advantage for Butler in the first down category, and Sydney had the one big turnover when they were driving in the second quarter.
Yep.
But if you look at the stats and you look at the first downs and you look at the fact that they're completing passes, it's just like last week. They're moving the ball between the 30 and the 30, and then something goes wrong and they're bogging down.
Yeah, shades of last week, only on a smaller scale. This Butler team is very, very good. It's a rock solid 4-2 club, which has played a little more difficult schedule than Sydney to date.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And that's, you know, are they as good as Trotwood? Probably not.
Nope.
Do they have the ability to beat Trotwood? I think if there's anybody in the league that does have that ability, we're watching them tonight.
Yeah, yeah. This Chandler Crane was, what, 8 for 8 right out of the gate, Chuck?
8 for 8 and 12 of 17 for the first half.
Whew,
he
wow.
missed 4 in a row, and other than that, he's been a monster.
And I'm really impressed with the wide array of skill players who catch the football for Chandler Crane. I think 6 different young men have caught the ball for Butler. And, in fact, Vandervoort, a little-used substitute back, caught a middle screen. Big play there in the second quarter. This team is really tough to slow down because you don't know who's going to be featured next.
Well, and I like their scheme because, yes, they're a passing team, but, boy, can they run out of that spread.
Yeah.
And that makes them really tough to defend.
And Logan Flatt, Nick Martin, and Matthew Grossman are strong runners when Vandalia Butler does decide to rush the football. Sydney simply needs to generate a concerted effort The offense has got to push the ball down the field to start the third quarter, get a touchdown, and put some pressure on Butler. Make Butler feel a little bit of heat before the third quarter ends.
Well, if you can go down and score and go for two and make it 28 to 22 to 8,
right?
Now you got your kids with a little excitement again.
Exactly. So many thanks to Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, our underwriting sponsor here at halftime. Wilson Health Sports Medicine. This is ScoresBroadcast.com.
Stacy Brandewey of Fort Loramie with another Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine success story.
My daughter Reggie injured her knee during her first scrimmage in November 2012. We contacted Wilson Sports Medicine and arranged for an MRI, and unfortunately that MRI did show she had torn her ACL. At that time, we thought her career in high school basketball was over.
But it was not. A 2013 senior for the Fort Loramie Redskins, Reggie received outstanding care and treatment from Diane Alexander, Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine athletic trainer.
Diane was caring, she was highly skilled, and motivated Reg to the point that my daughter had the confidence to return to the court and play before any surgery.
And wow, did she ever perform, helping the Fort Loramie girls to the Division IV state title.
You know, it was just 3 days after Reggie and her teammates had won the state championship that Dr. Heckler at Wilson Sports Medicine performed the surgery to repair Reggie's ACL. Thanks to Dr. Heckler and his physician assistant, Nicole Burbacher, the surgery was a great success.
Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine in Sydney, keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
This is ScoresBroadcast.com. Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee here at Butler High School. Chuck, a score from Greenville. Pickwa playing the Green Wave tonight.
Yep, it's Greenville's homecoming, and Pickwa was up 28-7 at the half.
And the last score we got from the Fort Loramie-Ridgemont game was Redskins 21, Ridgemont nothing. Early on, into the first quarter, Anna up by a touchdown over Adelpha St. John 7-0. Early second quarter, Fort Recovery beating Minster by a 12-0 count.
Wow.
12-0 Fort Recovery against Minster. Two clubs which will battle it out in this region of Division 7, which also includes Layman Catholic. The Cavaliers are in the mix now, 3-3, after a huge win on the road last week at Riverside, 26-21. It was a game filled with a lot of excitement. A big touchdown late second quarter. Pass play, Stephen Monin to Dylan Arnold. A monumental six late in the second period. Stephen Monin ran the ball, Chuck, at Riverside for nearly 200 yards for Layman. He had a dynamite game.
Well, it's nice to know he's back. We saw him get hurt in the Graham game, and they need him back. They're a different football team with him playing quarterback.
There was a little controversy in that game. Layman executed what the Cavaliers thought was a fine onside kick. In fact, Layman contested. It traveled a good 12 or 13 yards. In fact, Stephen Monin recovered his own kick, but it was disallowed. But then later on in the game, a big fumble recovery was returned for a score by Layman, and that one stood. We talked to Layman offensive coordinator Bill Zimmerman earlier in the week, and he said thanks to that 26-21 win over Riverside last Friday, his team has matured.
The team grew up a little bit. It was a bad night as far as weather-wise, very windy. So the conditions to throw was also rainy. The conditions to throw were not good. I was freezing myself up in the crow's nest that they have for the opposing coaches. But little scoring in the first half. We go into halftime down 7-6. We got our extra point blocked, but we felt confident that we were in the game. We kind of held Chandler Cotterman at bay, who's their stud running back. Come out in the second half and kind of exchange some scores. We about tie the ball game, but the extra point goes wide left, and into the fourth we're down 21-20. We attempt an onside kick, which with some controversy was given back to Riverside. Next play from scrimmage, they're running a sweep on the outside. Seth Brown, as to use your term, pulls a Cam Chancellor Kinsler and pops the ball out from behind the running back and Owen Smith, our safety, who was coming up to help out, scoops and scores from the air. Essentially, the ball never hit the ground, and he returns it 55 yards for a touchdown.
And the officials never took back the fumble recovery.
No. No, they did not. And so, we go up 26-21. We try a two-pointer, and it gets stuffed. We exchanged some possessions after that, and we held Cotterman at bay after that. And we need on it to take a big win for us.
And Stephen Monum was a workhorse running the ball at quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we knew, he had a knee injury back in week 3 against Graham. So he's been hobbled. He has an MCL sprain, and so the last couple weeks after that, he was a little limited in his ability to move. But this week going in, his knee's feeling better. He's got he doesn't have that big, huge robo brace on there anymore. He's just got a smaller one. We knew with the conditions and the team we were facing, we wanted to run the ball more. So Steven had 26 carries for 198 yards from the quarterback position.
One of the three big passes he completed, a 35-yarder, Dylan Arnold caught it late first half.
Yeah, big with 25 seconds left in the half. We were down 7-0, but we had mounted a little bit of a drive, and it was a second down play, second and 10 ish from about the 35, and we threw a deep ball to Dylan into the wind, and he caught it for the score.
It must have had a stout defensive effort to limit Riverside to 21 points. And as you say, to hold Cotterman at bay, he didn't run at will. And your offensive line must have played like studs.
Yeah. Our defense was stout. Cotterman, we really stymied him for the most part. I think he only had 4 carries over 10 yards throughout the whole game. Now, he had a couple big ones, of course. You're not gonna contain him all game because he's a sheer talent. But Owen Smith stepped up. Brandon Barhorst stepped up. We had great defensive line play. Chris Shepard was probably had played the best game of his career. And then offensive line, we ran the ball, I think, 50-plus times. So the guys up front did their job for sure.
With a 4-0 finish, the playoff picture looks bright for Lehman.
It does. I think, I'm kind of the guy who crunches those numbers for the team. And I think we're looking okay. We're rooting for Riverside to get a win over Upper so we can get a share of that league title this weekend. That'll also help our computer points, so it helps us twofold. But if we can take care of our business, which is feasible, we still have Laramie looming and a decent Hardin Northern team this weekend for homecoming, we should have a good chance.
Lehman Catholic offensive coach Bill Zimmerman commenting on Lehman's win on the road last week at Riverside 26-21. Lehman at home tonight against Dola Hardin Northern. As coach noted, Riverside is at Upper Scioto Valley this evening. That's a crucial game. Lehman was beaten earlier in the year by Upper Scioto, so Lehman Catholic wants Riverside to win that game tonight. Lehman having knocked off Riverside 1 week ago. As you examine Ohio Division 7, Region 26, Chuck, coming into play this evening, Covington was first, Ada second, Fort Recovery third. Miami Valley Christian Academy was sitting at fourth. Minster 5th, Riverside 6th, Troy Christian 7th, Upper Scioto Valley 8th, Lehman 9th. Wow, 0.08 behind Upper Scioto Valley. A lot of shifting can take place. Fort Recovery leads Minster 12-0 late second quarter tonight. That would shake things up. Minster would perhaps drop a notch or two. If Upper Scioto loses to Riverside tonight, that might knock Upper Scioto out of the top eight. Ada's got some strong opponents the last 2-3 weeks. And I think Troy Christian's got a difficult challenge with the Tri-County North. If not tonight, it's next week. So a lot of shuffling can still take place. Don't think Lehman Catholic can get a home game. Don't believe the Cavaliers can host unless a miracle occurs, but finishing 5th through 8th somewhere is indeed possible.
Well, from the way the season started and all the skill players they lost last year, they're having a remarkable year.
Exactly right. You nailed it. 22-0 here at Vandalia Butler. Aviators lead the Yellow Jackets 22-0 at the half. Adams Tech Solutions in Anna near McCartyville is owned by Adam Rice and reaches out to aid small businesses in the region by providing high-tech computer solutions such as PC and network repair, remote management, virus spyware service upgrades, tutoring, data recovery, data transfer, and more. That's right, high-tech computer solutions from Adams Tech Solutions in Anna near McCartyville. And Adams Tech Solutions will repair your mobile device, some phones and handhelds such as iPods and iPads. Adam Rice, high-quality computer service on time. Phone 937-538-6948. 538-6948. Adam Rice, R-E-I-S-S, at Adams Tech Solutions in Anna near McCartyville. As the Vandalia Butler Marching Band strikes up a little, I recognize that, Chuck.
Hang on, Sloopy.
Little Hang On Sloopy from the Aviators Marching Band right in front of us here at Butler High School. 22-0, our halftime score, Sydney trailing Vandalia Butler. The Yellow Jackets will receive the kickoff to start the second half. Earlier this week, we had the opportunity to sit down and chat with Dan Ross, the commissioner of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, and we asked him about the seven-division format in high school football here in this state of Ohio and how it's all working out.
The classifications are done 2 years in a row. Had a little bit of a blip with the classifications because of the community school issue dealt with, and we have a committee that will be working on that. But the seven-division piece has worked out very, very well. I know that always when you're on the bottom end of that 72 teams, because there's still a disparity between the numbers in the top and bottom of Division One.
Right.
I don't know whether there's ever a really good answer for dealing with that one, but it certainly freed up some schools in Division Two and on down that now have an opportunity to participate that probably would not have been competitive before in the divisions that they were in. So we'll continue to look at this, but it's been a very, very good couple of years with this, and it's been one we'll just continue to watch.
Other states around the country, the range in the number of divisions for football, for example, can you give us a little snapshot?
You'd be surprised,
yeah.
Because there are states that have 250 schools, and
yeah.
They have six divisions.
Wow.
And so for me, I think the thing that bothers me with that is that's really not the kind of competition that you want.
No.
But it's sometimes that becomes a very, very political issue there.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, the other piece with that, you know, with going to the seventh division, we went from 196 to 224, I think, schools
mm-hmm.
in our football playoffs. And I think most people feel like the system that we have is very, very good. That everybody probably shouldn't be in the playoffs. There are states where everybody's in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and they just reduce the number of games. I think for us that's a little bit of an issue because most of our schools fund the non-revenue sports, the golf, the gymnastics, the cross countries, the tennis, mm-hmm. because those aren't revenue generating. They fund them with the gates from tennis and or from basketball and football.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take away a home game or two so that everybody's in the playoffs, then you're going to be cutting into the revenue where they may have to look and say, I'm not sure we can offer tennis or golf or that because we lost a home football game. A couple of years ago, you remember, we added the two games in basketball.
Right.
And a whole lot of that was driven by schools that didn't have football but had basketball that gave them at least one more home date so that they could help fund their athletic programs.
Right.
Dan Ross, 12th year as commissioner of the Ohio High School Athletic Association, our guest. You referenced several high school sports sanctioned by the OHSAA in the last moment or so.
A year from the upcoming spring season, lacrosse will be a newly sanctioned sport by the OHSAA.
Yes, our Emerging Sports Committee made that recommendation to the board at the end of last year, and our board approved that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the 16-17 school year, and it will be a spring sport, which will, just as you mentioned, it will be a year from the coming spring. The spring of 2017 will be our first lacrosse season. We're very excited about that. It's a very, very fast-growing sport in this state. And it seems like if you took a line and you went from Cincinnati to Columbus to Cleveland, and then you drew from the middle of that line maybe a 30-mile piece on each side of that line, that you'd probably hit probably 80% of the schools that have lacrosse.
Interesting.
And it's kind of interesting when you do that, because when we start placing those out. So we're in the process of putting the committees together of how this is going to be a seamless transition. The Lacrosse Coaches Association has worked with our emerging sports for a couple of years and trying to make sure that they were following all the OHSAA rules, and so the transition for this probably will be quite seamless. We're really hoping.
OHSAA Commissioner Dan Ross, who says the Emerging Sports Team Committee, Chuck, is also examining the possibility of eight-man football down the road in the future. One back would come off the field, two linemen would come off the field. That's for those small schools that don't have football, the small schools that only have a 25 or 30 man roster, schools which would like football to help support some of the other sports at the schools. But it does succeed in a handful of other states, eight-man football. How about that?
Well, I mean, it's not something I'd be excited to watch, but, I mean, I understand. He's a really smart man, and they know what's happening and what they need to do. So if he's saying it's something that's feasible, then I agree with him.
Yeah, eight-man football, much smaller field than 100 yards long. Actually, what, 120, including the end zones. And this is, what, better than 50 yards wide, the regular gridiron? But 22-0, Vandalia Butler leads Sydney here at the half. We'll take a short break, then return. Sydney receives the third quarter kickoff on scoresbroadcast.com.
This business and proud sponsor of high school sports provides valuable products and services for our local agriculture industry.
Well, here at Bambach Fertilizer and Seed, we have three retail locations, one just east of New Knoxville, one just south of Jackson Center, and one here in Pemberton, Ohio.
Matt Bambauer, who manages the Pemberton store, said area farms have relied on Bambauer for fertilizers, seeds, and crop protection chemicals for over half a century.
For me, this work has been a way of life since I was a kid. There's actually four generations of my family that's been serving the ag industry. If you really wanted to look, it goes clear back to the 1930s.
Service is more than just a word at Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed. It's a promise that is kept with each customer every single time.
We serve the ag industry in six west central Ohio counties. Here at Bambauer's, we pride ourselves in providing the very best products and services to our customers.
On the web at Bambauer, Bambauer, fertilizer.com.
This is Scores, broadcast.com, Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. Darryl McNeil for Sydney returns the second half kickoff from his own six. He's up the near sideline. He's hemmed in. He does manage to string it out to the 27, and that's where the Yellow Jackets start first and 10.
Well, he did a nice job of hanging on to the ball because he got hit from behind, and it started to bobble a little bit, and he saw him pull it in.
Yeah, somebody tried to bounce it out from the rear. How about that score tonight at Trotwood? Troy is on the road there and winning.
Was it 14-6 or 14-0?
Zip. Yeah.
Wow.
14-0.
Way to go, Matt.
Matt Burbacher, first-year head coach at Troy, coming to the Trojans Club from Fort Loramie. And he is winning on the road tonight at Trotwood by a count of 14-0. And should he hang on and win that game, Chuck, he might tell everybody that's worth four or five wins.
Yeah.
Here is Sydney being guilty of holding on the second play of the second half after a two-yard gain in the first play. A rollout to the right by Andre Gordon. And unleashing are the linebackers of Butler as they come whipping through.
I think it's going to be offsetting because I think they called a late hit out of bounds on the sideline here.
Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may have been a dead ball, correct?
If that's, yeah, let's see what the call is.
Yeah, 14-0, Troy leads Trotwood. We've just been informed by Ken Barhorst, sports editor, Sydney Daily News. Sydney Daily News sports editor has just texted us, 14-0, Troy over Trotwood at the half.
Okay, I'm confused. They called both of them on Sydney.
They did. And now the referees have got to talk about it to get it straightened out. Multiple fouls.
Oh, so Gordon must have thrown the ball as he was going down.
Yep,
at the sideline there.
Intentional grounding, not a late hit. It happened at the sideline, just as Chuck noted. Andre let go of the football, but it was detected as intentional grounding. Right call, holding accepted. Butler accepts the holding call on Sydney, and the Yellow Jackets march backward to the 13. Sydney can get a first down, but way out at the 37. Oh, Andre Gordon does a figure S back inside the 5-yard line in the end zone, comes out of there with it, near side of the field, runs out of room, and he's pursued to the sideline at the 18.
That was a very wonderful 3-yard run.
Was that a good description of figure S by Andre?
Yeah. He looked like he was going to go down at the 5, and he put it into another gear.
He got a +3 out of it. Third down, 17 for Sydney. Second half not starting like the Yellow Jackets needed. Line of scrimmage shy of the 20. Andre rolls left, being cornered behind the line. Now he reverses his field way back at the 7. Takes off and runs. Gets a block. Another one. He's got some daylight. 20, 25. Does he get the first down marker? No. Had to get to the 36, and he's cracked out of bounds at the 32. And it might be a little early, Chuck, to think about going forward on fourth down.
Yeah, at this spot in the field, they can't.
We've played a minute, third quarter. Vandalia Butler in the lead, 22-0. Sydney's got the punt, so after me imploring for Sydney to march down the field and generate points to start the second half, it didn't happen. Snap back to Santos for Sydney. Good rush by Butler. Snap is juggled by Devin. Gets the kick away. Collision occurs. Ball traveled over the 50, and a flag flies.
Well, I think I didn't see him call personal foul. I think it was running into the kicker, which is only going to be a 5-yard penalty.
Might be enough for a first down.
No, it's going to.
No?
Well,
close.
It's going to make it about fourth and one, maybe. Oh, it is personal foul. So it is a first down.
Yeah, it's not a 5-yard running into the kicker call. It's a major one, the 15-yard variety. And we won't need the field glasses for this because there's no measurement. It's a first down with a good 9 or 10 yards to spare.
Yep.
First and 10, Sydney out at the 40. Maybe that's the break that will fuel the Jackets here. Handoff offensive backfield, trying to run right, goes Bowser. Nowhere to go that direction. Reverses his field back to the left. He's collared and decked at the 30.
Wow.
-9 on that rush from scrimmage. Second down and 19 for Sydney. 90 seconds gone here in the third quarter. We talked in the pregame about the necessity for Sydney to run the football tonight. Head coach Adam Dungis agreed. It just hasn't been there, except occasionally when Andre Gordon gets the idea to run from way back behind the line of scrimmage, as he does here, bolting down the middle of the field between the hash marks, pushing ahead to the 40-42. He got back the lost yards plus a couple or three more. So it's 3rd and 7 for Sydney from the Jackets 42. The officials wave their hands momentarily. A little over 2 minutes gone here in the third quarter. Understand that Anna leads Delta St. John's 14-0 at the halftime break. Anna Rockets on top. Rolling right, Gordon gives to Bowser. Sprint draw. It's snuffed out. He's downed at the 42. Vandalia Butler's defense stayed at home. 14-0 Anna over Delta St. John's at the halftime intermission. Yep, the Sydney Yellow Jackets face a fourth and at least six, close to seven. Santos on to punt again. Too bad Sydney couldn't take advantage of the roughing the kicker call against Butler. Jackets couldn't produce a first down. But here is an absolutely fantastic punt by Santos. The line of scrimmage, the 39. He kicked it from his 30. It lights on the ground at the 15 of Butler. Takes a couple of big hops to the two, and Sydney downs it.
McNeil got down there. Great punt, and McNeil covered that and did a great job of keeping it out of the end zone.
Wow, what a play by Sydney special teams. That was National Football League style right there. Beautifully done by Sydney. Now the Yellow Jackets
need to stuff them.
Stuff them. Better yet, force a turnover. Crane, 3 yards deep in the end zone. Hands off. Running play, it is Logan Flat, and he bursts out across the five. He's got about six to the 8 or 9 yard line. Boy, Crevice opened up outside left tackle, and Flat danced right through it. Second down and short. Crane hands off, offensive backfield. It is Martin. Martin's hit at the 11. Ball is jarred loose. It's on the ground. Jackets say they've got it. Let's see. Big call here by the referee. Sydney possession, I believe. Wasn't that the signal?
That was Sydney possession. There's also a flag on the down about the 22-yard line.
Oh, there is.
So if that's a defensive holding call, that's going to negate this.
But the Yellow Jackets have had penalties crop up the last few weeks. It was Flat, the ball carrier. He was crunched at the line of scrimmage, and the penalty is against Sydney. Well, the Sydney Yellow Jackets had a player who did not get off the field in time before the snap.
Wow.
Thus, the fumble is nullified. Well, sometimes you make your breaks, and sometimes you make a mistake to wipe out the break you made for yourself.
Yeah, well.
8.5 to go, third quarter. Vandalia Butler still has the football. As the run and fumble recovery, enough for a first down. Crane hands off on the play to the ball carrier, and you can bet Butler, leading 22-0, will continue to try to grind it out here in the third quarter and chew up time off the clock. Nick Martin goes barreling over left tackle. He trudges to the 18. Second down and six for Butler. 4 minutes gone here in the third quarter. Sydney trails 22-0. Here comes a blitz, and then Crane drops to throw. Right side of the field, has a man, but overshoots him at the 33. Well-conceived play. Sydney jumped on the running back, who was not fed the football. It was faked to him. Crane had an open receiver, but for one of the few times tonight, missed him.
Yeah, he was open, but I think, it's just a guess, I don't think the receiver ran as deep a route as he was supposed to on that play.
Yeah, you're right. The angle may not have been the correct one, and Crane judged the depth of his receiver to be a little further downfield. Oh, here is line pressure by Sydney. It's a middle screen. Sydney has got this one diagnosed. It's tipped, nearly caught on the rebound by Butler. It's trapped following the deflection at the 20. So it is fourth down, and Sydney's defense stalls Butler's possession.
Boy, except for those two long passes that Sydney gave up, they've done a great job defensively.
You're exactly right. Jackets, except for plays you can count on one hand, have performed very admirably. on defense here tonight. Here's the punt by Butler. Sidney coughs it up at the 50. It goes backwards. The Yellow Jackets do manage to reel it in at the 45. McNeil lost it. Looked like it might have been Sam Nyswanger, 14, who was very alert and made the recovery.
Yeah, McNeil tried to make a play that time in traffic, and then with the wind blowing in that direction, it held it up on him just enough that he didn't quite get to it.
And a little bit of a knuckleball coming down short of McNeil. Yep, Sydney's got great position on the gridiron, 45-yard line. Need 55 yards for a score. Inside handoff, good for one to the 46. Connor Beer tried to squeeze off tackle. Might have squirted for about 4 feet. Second down, a little more than 8 to go for a first down. 5 minutes gone in the third quarter. Sidney down 22-0. Two receivers each way. Stepping up in the pocket, Andre Gordon. Oh, a great tackle by Vandalia Butler, who wouldn't let Andre out of his sight. They got a hold of his jersey, hung on for dear life, and flipped him down for a yard loss.
I think he threw the ball, and I think they're going to call him down before he threw the ball. He's got to watch that.
Yeah, you get too careless with that, the call might not go in your favor. Third and 9, Sidney at the Jackets 46. Man in motion to the right was McNeil. Gordon rolling this way, no one open, and he's got to reverse his field all the way to the far side now. On the run is Andre, looping a pass down around the 25, out of bounds, incomplete. And Sidney's got to punt the football again. The Yellow Jackets, Chuck, have been stymied now on first down the last two quarters. They get behind the chains and simply can't make it up.
Exactly. That time, it was supposed to be like a wheel route, and the receiver ran the first part and then just went into a jog, and Gordon had no place to go.
6:40 left to go. Here's a fake on the punt. Short pass by Sidney, middle of the field, and no one is home. It is incomplete, and Butler takes over at the Sidney 45. An official's timeout. Don't think there is a flag.
Got a player down.
Well, you knew eventually the Yellow Jackets were going to have to gamble and try a little trickery. If not on third down and long, maybe on fourth down. Sidney late in the second quarter tried the hook and ladder. That was in the second period, wasn't it, Chuck?
Right at the end of the right at the end of the half.
And here a short pass from punt formation. It was incomplete, not really close to being completed. And Butler stops the Sidney drive. And one more score here by Butler would put the Aviators on top of 4 TDs and would really make it extremely challenging for Sidney to get back into this game. We're almost halfway through the third quarter.
This is a good defensive team, because I'll tell you what, I didn't think anybody could shut down Sidney's offense.
And Vandalia Butler has done a superb job of just that here tonight. Butler back out on the field. The offensive unit sets up shop at the Sidney 47. 6:41 left to play here in the third. Again, that halftime score, thanks to Ken Barhorst, sports editor, Sidney Daily News. Troy 14, Trotwood nothing. That would be the biggest upset in the state of Ohio if Troy remained ahead to the finish. Here's Crane back to throw. Goes sideways across the field. Sidney nearly jumped the route, almost intercepted it. Incomplete at about the 46. Dangerous throw by Butler.
Yeah, there was two defenders out there. They had front and back. They ain't bracketed.
Clock stops. 6:34 left in the third. Chandler Crane, the quarterback for Vandalia Butler. 6 feet tall, a senior. Retreats to throw. Back at his 43. Right hash mark. Open receiver. Sidney converges on him late. He's not contested very well. He catches at the 32. He angles middle of the field to the 25, dumped right there. Good route on the play by Noah Ballard. Wideout for Butler. He sat right there in the zone underneath coverage. 25-yard line, Crane, middle of the field, right down the center of it. And he goes to the well once too often, intercepted by Sidney at the 9-yard line. Wow, Isaiah Bowser read the route, jumped in front of the split end, and made the pick. He was tripped up at the 15 after intercepting the football.
Not a good pass. He threw that right down the middle, and three defenders on the receiver. There was no way that was getting there.
No, not a chance. And Butler spoils an opportunity right there to put this game away. Sidney now needs to march it right down the field and get points before the third quarter closes out. Line of scrimmage, the 13. Andre Gordon quarterbacking for Sidney. Trips to the left. Short drop. Little screen in the flat. Reception made behind the line at the 10. Vandalia Butler smothers it. Loss of 5.
Piqua leads Greenville in the third quarter now 35-7. Greenville beat Troy last week. Somebody explain it to me.
Oh, you can't. You can't. No sense. Here's Gordon back at the 5-yard line. He is trying to elude danger. Look at him zigzag. Far hash mark on the numbers across the way. Gets to the 16, 17. He's nailed. Third down for Sidney. Or was that third down? It was. My mistake, that wasn't third down, that was second. Jack, get on the same page as the scoreboard operator. Third down and 6 for Sidney. Here's a pump fake by Andre. He's got a running lane, tries to get outside contain. Oh, what a tackle by Butler at the 23-yard line. Looked like Andre had an alley, but it was closed off, and Sidney's got to punt from its own 23. Tell you what, Chuck, I've been more impressed with Butler's defense as this game has dragged on than its very good offense.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it.
Wow.
Because this is a really talented Sidney offensive team.
It is. Very speedy, highly athletic. Here's the punt by Santos. It is straight up in the air, has some length on it, crosses the 50 to the 40, touchdown by Sidney right there. First and 10 Aviators from their own 40-yard line with 4:26 to go here in the third quarter.
That's still a 36-yard punt.
Yes.
With no return, that's what you look for.
Yep. Yep, that's the field swap you need. Aviators from their own 42. Leading 22-0. Beyond the halfway mark, third quarter of this game. Chandler Crane, the quarterback, gives right up the middle to the fullback who bangs to the 43. Logan Flatt carves out a yard, second down and 9. Really no compelling reason right now, Chuck, for Vandalia Butler to start airmailing forward passes down the field.
No, just run the clock at this point.
Up 3 scores, keep it on the ground. Little swing pass, though, by Crane after a fake. The receiver behind the line catches, roams down the near sideline, 40-45, and pays for it at the 48. He's hit hard. And that was Dawson Vandervoort out of the backfield, still leaving Butler a good 3 yards short of a first down at the Aviators' 48.5. 22-0 Butler. 3.5 to go, third quarter. Here comes the run blitz. Handoff right in the middle. Broken tackle. Another one is shed. Positive run to the 45 of Sidney. Logan Flatt's been the workhorse tonight for the Aviators, and he jaunts for about 7 and a first down to the Sidney 45. Clock continues to run. Xavier Wise, Isaiah Bowser on the last hit. Here's Crane taking 2 or 3 steps to the left. late handoff to the ball carrier, who's collared at the boundary. Down he goes. No call. Penalty marker not thrown. Legal hit by Sydney on flat. Clock stopped on the out-of-bounds play. 3:10 left to go here in the third period. Second down, a little less than seven for Butler. High snap to Crane. Give right in the middle of the ball carrier. Not much running room there. He swerves to the outside. And there's a lane. It's flat. He's got room. 35-30 spilled right there.
Good balance because he got tripped up in the backfield and still gained 13 yards.
This Logan Flatt, who's an outstanding safety on the defensive unit for Butler, is also a rock-solid ball carrier and receiver as well. First and 10, Butler at the 30 of Sydney. Here is an inside handoff. Ball carrier gets beyond the linebackers at the 25, and it's pried loose by Sydney. It's on the deck, and the Jackets have got it at the 22. Fumble by Butler, the second in this quarter. No, the first fumble and the...
Right, because the other one didn't count because there was a penalty. An interception,
yes,
and a fumble.
Now, Sydney sooner or later got to make these takeaways pay off for the Jackets. An interception by Bowser. A fumble recovery here at the 22. Butler with a player getting on the field extremely tardy, and Butler's got to take a timeout. 2:46 to go, third quarter. Vandalia Butler 22, Sydney nothing. On scoresbroadcast.com.
Holloway Sportswear in Sydney features the full game plan of athletic apparel, bags, fan gear, warm-ups, outerwear, and much more. Deep color offerings, unbeatable quality, and the latest trends in high-performance fabrics. Holloway gets fans, coaches, and athletes to the bonus line with extras that help fashion their games. Check your local sporting goods store and rule the sideline with Holloway Sportswear. Download catalogs and view product videos at HollowayUSA.com.
U.S. Bank provides custom solutions to help you grow your business. Whether you've just started in a friend's apartment.
What do you mean there's no printer?
Or opened your first office.
We have a printer.
Or maybe you've opened a new location.
We have so many printers.
You'll have a business banker there to guide you every step of the way. Visit your local U.S. Bank branch or usbank.com/business. Credit products are subject to normal credit approval and program guidelines. Some restrictions and fees may apply. See your banker for details. Deposit products offered by U.S. Bank, National Association, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here is Andre Gordon on first and 10 for Sydney after the Butler fumble and recovery by the Jackets. Gordon dashing far side of the field. He's on the sideline. He streaks down it, 35-40, still on his feet, and he's finally bumped out of bounds at the 42. What about a 22 or 23 yard run?
Yeah, right around 20. They started at the 20. I was at from the 23.
Short drop. Andre Gordon throws right flat. McNeil. McNeil may have heard footsteps. I said McNeil. I should have said Damian Duff. Vandalia Butler was hot on his heels. Ball falls harmlessly incomplete. Duff knew somebody was right around the corner. 2:26 to go, third quarter. 22-0 Butler. Here comes the blitz. Gordon faked the handoff and kept. Oh, he's got daylight right through the gut of the Butler defense. Look at him go. Far side, 40, 35, 30. The blazing Andre Gordon barges down the far sideline, finally meets traffic at the 25 where he goes down.
He has runs of 30, 32, and 20 here in the game.
But how many times has he been sacked?
Still five. They had five in the first half. They have not gotten to him here in the second half, but he's only thrown four passes.
2 minutes, 13 seconds to go, third quarter. Sydney needs a score to make this interesting heading into the fourth. 26-yard line of Butler. Snap back to Andre Gordon, first down. Loops a pass to the right, outside the hash mark to McNeil. McNeil's got it. He's got space down the sideline, romping to the 10. Big high leg kick by Daryl McNeil, and he's knocked out of bounds at the 6 yard line. Good pass and run. Gordon and McNeil hook up. Goal to go, Sydney. 6 yard line of Butler. Trips to the left side. Gordon throws behind the line of scrimmage, and it is incomplete at about the 7 or 8. Boy, I thought that was a backward pass.
It was, and that's what they called.
Oh, they did. Sydney did pounce on it. Yep, right call. That was a lateral. It wasn't thrown ahead. Sydney alertly covered up the football. Errant throw by Andre Gordon. Well, Butler's been all over that backward pass in the flat. Goal to go from the 12 now for Sydney. Jackets for sure in four down territory. Here's a drop by Andre. Throws middle of the field, down near the 1 yard line. A diving effort by the Yellow Jackets, and the ball is on the ground, raked away by Butler, incomplete. Nearly a splendid catch. Andre threw it down around the shins, exactly where he had to pitch the football. Third and 12 for Sydney. 12-yard line of Butler. A minute 14 to go, third quarter. Butler leads 22-0. Andre Gordon at the 20 wants to throw. A little hole opens up middle of the field. He tries to scramble. 10, 6, maybe the 5. He's cut down. Goal to go, Sydney, at the 4.5. Last minute, third quarter. Boy, if Sydney wants to make this an entertaining game in the fourth quarter and put some pressure on Butler, the Jackets have got to have 6 here. Trips to the right, snap back to Gordon, rolls this way. He's way back at the 17. Butler in hot pursuit. They collar him from the backside and drag him down at the 9. And Sydney is denied. I said 9, I should have said 4. Nonetheless, Andre couldn't get in. Almost a horse collar on that play, Chuck. Ooh, looked like it could have been called.
Yeah, I think it was jersey, but yeah, I mean, that's twice now they've been up around the shoulder pads making tackles.
And it looked like to me it was an outstanding defensive play by Vandalia Butler's Vinny Fiore from the rear as he caught up with Andre Gordon down the near sideline. He was way back outside the 20 at one point, got to the 4, needed to get to the end zone, and Sydney turns it over. Half minute to go, third quarter. 22-0 Butler. Crane getting onto the field late with the play for Butler. Play clock down to 7. Crane to Martin. He dealt it to his big running back. He stuffed at the 5. Well, Martin came into the game averaging 5.5 per carry. Logan Flat nearly 7 per carry. And Logan Flat has been every bit that good and then some tonight for Butler rushing the football. And we've got a personal foul either during or at the end of that play against Butler.
A dead ball personal foul.
So that will likely mean that the play for 1 yard stands. Infraction assessed after the play. So it should properly be second down. It is. Second and about 12 or 13 to go for a first down inside the 2. Butler's own 2-yard line. And we've got another marker tossed.
And let's see. That bails them out. They don't have to snap the ball from the 2 now.
Encroachment, Sydney. New line of scrimmage out at the 7.5 with 14.6 to go in what has been a lengthy third quarter. And Vandalia Butler may let time expire here at the end of the third quarter. In fact, the Butler players are looking at the clock. That's it. Third period finishes here at Vandalia Butler. The Aviators lead the Yellow Jackets 22-0 on scoresbroadcast.com.
Your glass connection is American Architectural Glass in Clayton.
Here at AAG, we specialize in commercial glass and glazing projects.
Jason Meyer of AAG.
We complete work throughout the state, and currently we are doing work as far north as Findlay, Ohio, down to as far south as the Hocking Hills region, and we're getting ready to undertake a couple projects at Ohio State.
We're here at Xenia Community Schools. We recently constructed 5 elementary buildings, and American Architectural Glass installed all of the windows and two of these buildings, including the beautiful colored glass panes in our media centers.
AAG's trademark is great customer service.
We pride ourselves on following up with the customer long after the project is complete, and I think that's what stands us apart from many others.
We were extremely pleased. The workmanship was excellent. AAG has helped us create a safe, warm, inviting learning environment for all of our students.
American Architectural Glass, on the web at AAGInc.com.
Well, we're seconds away from starting action here in the fourth quarter. Sydney on the short end, 22-0. Vandalia Butler in a hole. Second down, 6 yards to go for the Aviators inside their own 10-yard line.
Sydney has more yards in the game than Vandalia.
Yeah, Sydney, the last two quarters, has played exceptional defensive football.
First downs are 14-13. Butler only has one more first down, and it's 22-0 because Sydney cannot put it in the end zone.
Exactly. Butler needs 6 for a first down. Line of scrimmage is at about the 12. Crane throwing from the end zone. It is a tremendously high pass, far side of the field, all the way out to the 40. Covered up by Sydney very well, incomplete. So it is third down for Butler. And yep, if Sydney can hold here, the Yellow Jackets will get very good field position and will absolutely have to ram that football right back down Butler's throat, get 7, and then you never know. Maybe the pressure shifts a little bit. Crane rolling out to throw from his end zone. Fires it up the near sideline. It's an out pattern for his wide receiver, incomplete at the 30. Ball thrown near side of the field for Fields, a wide out. And after being razor sharp, Chuck, first quarter, Crane has slowed down a little bit since throwing the football. Sydney has adjusted.
Well, those fly patterns that he threw for completions early in the game are being defended now.
Butler punting from the end zone. Nobody back for Sydney, which was going for the all-out block. And the kick hits at the 45. And bounces across the 50. Sydney starts from its own 45.
That's an outstanding punt with all that pressure on him that time.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, the punter for Butler caught the ball 9 yards deep in the end zone. And soared that football just shy of midfield. And it took a Butler bounce. Sydney starts first and 10 from the Yellow Jackets 45. Well, it's do or die right here. Sydney must, absolutely must have points. Hand off, middle of the field, and a quick 7-yard bolt right up the gut. Strong run through the middle by Bowser. He chugs for 6 officially from the 45 to the Butler 49. Man in motion across the formation. Snap to Andre Gordon. Again, a running play intended for the middle. Nothing there. Bowser stutter steps wide, and he's nailed at the 47. He records an advance of a couple. 3rd and 2 for Sydney.
Got a new quarterback out there. It is not Gordon.
I think you're exactly right, Chuck. I was hesitating. Here's the snap back. It's Connor Beer, maybe in the Wildcat? No.
11.
It's Peyton Osborne, the senior, who stuck with it the last couple years and has gotten his chance.
He came in last week against Trotwood and kind of engineered a couple of drives at the end of the game.
Yep, and he did a very good job in a ball game that we did not cover, the win by Sydney down at Fairborn. He filled in for Andre when he got nicked up in the second half, and Peyton Osborne performed very admirably in that game. Here's a handoff left guard, short advance on what was a 4th and 1.
It's not going to be good then if they put the ball right down on the mark there.
That is a spot that is not in Sydney's favor. Yellow Jackets got a good run on first down, and on 2nd and 3rd, not so much. On 4th and about 4 feet, Sydney picks up half of it. The chain may come in just to make it official, but it does appear to be a good.
But, yeah, I think Adam asked for a measurement. Yeah.
Head coach Adam Dungis of Sydney says, can you take a real close examination and give us the first down anyway, even though it might be a foot short? Because I don't think he made it. Ball is resting right at the 45. It looked like the first down marker across the way was inside the 45 and about the 44 and two-thirds yard line. And it is Vandalia Butler football. Aviators get it by a foot. Well, Sydney's offense has been saddled tonight because of Vandalia Butler's very good defense. Sydney has not run it or passed it well enough at crucial times when the Yellow Jackets have needed important yards. Butler keeping it on the ground. Ball in the 45 near hash mark. It's Nick Martin. And Martin tries to stride ahead. Does so for three. Line of scrimmage, the 48. 9:44 to go in the fourth quarter. Butler leads Sydney 22-0. To the line of scrimmage. Butler using every bit of the play clock. Chandler Crane, 4 yards behind the line. Takes the snap from center, gives to Martin, left tackle, and he bulldozes to the 49, spilled right there. Gain of two or three more. Third down, better than four to go for a first down for Butler. 9 minutes to go in the fourth. Very good hit on that last play by Sam Nyswanger of Sydney as he derailed the ball carrier, Martin, right around the thighs and upended him to the ground. Here it goes to Martin again. Right guard's got a little bit of a crack, and he goes barging right through it. He registers a nice gain of about 8 or 9 and a first down. As he jaunted down to the 41 of Sydney.
We don't have anything new on the Troy Trotwood game.
You are reading my mind, Chuck. Ken Barhorst, sports editor, Sydney Daily News, has been filling us in all night long with timely scores. Butler outside the 40 of Sydney, first and 10. 8:20 to go in the fourth. Trips to the right. Butler gives to Martin way back behind the line, and he tries to power forward, nothing doing. He is stalemated, a 2 yard loss. Second down and 12 coming up now for Butler. Last charge led by Devin Santos of Sydney, under 8 to go in the game. Butler trying to consume clock at this point. Couple receivers flanked way to the wide side. Crane looks that direction, flips it short, little curl route by one of his wide receivers, safe play. He catches at the 38 of Sydney, nudges down to the 36. He is spilled right there. Third down coming up at about 5 for Butler, 36-yard line of Sydney. Vandalia Butler to the line of scrimmage. Chandler Crane looks to his offensive coordinator under head coach Greg Bush, near sideline of Butler. Play clock down to 10. Two receivers near side, one to the far. It is Martin, I believe, and he makes a stutter step move at the line of scrimmage, and his wheels are knocked out from under him right on the 35. Fourth and 4, Devin Rogers on the hit for Sydney. 6:40 to go in the fourth quarter. Vandalia Butler leads it 22-0.
At the 35, it's fourth down.
Vandalia Butler may elect to go for it. This would be a dagger in the Yellow Jackets if Butler could pick it up. It's a sideline route. Sydney goes for the pick, and it's caught. And the receiver tries to high step it down the near sideline all the way to the end zone, but he is on the boundary after getting the first down. The play goes for a net of 8. Boy, Daryl McNeil gambled, went for the pick 6, nearly got it. Might have touched it with a fingertip. Good concentration by Sanders, the receiver for Butler, who reeled it in and got the first down. Here's Martin on first and 10 from the Sydney 28. And he chugs his way down to the 23. He got 5. 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. 22-0 in favor of Butler. Sydney moved the football tonight pretty well between the 30s. Just could not make crucial yards when the Yellow Jackets needed them most in Butler's end of the field. And turned it over on downs a few times. Got all the way down inside the 5-yard line on one occasion. Boy, just one score by Sydney earlier in this game would have made the final half, the fourth quarter, much more interesting. A momentarily glitch in the scoreboard clock. 5:41 to go in the fourth. And we've got are those whistles or is that the band?
No, those are whistles. The play clock must not be working.
You're right. Don't believe it is. A string of whistles down in the field. Play clock is not functioning at the moment. That could be in Butler's favor. Although Crane can't look at the clock and decipher how many seconds remaining on the play clock. He goes back to pass. Throws a slant. Far hash mark. Yes, it's caught. 13-yard line. Aaron Fields ran a good route. Screened off the defender. Made a good reception. Hudgens was on his hip for Sydney, but he couldn't get a hand in there. Completion to the 12, first and 10 Butler. 5 minutes to go, fourth quarter. Aviators have two receivers out to the near side. Crane, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He gets the snap, gives on the play to Martin. Martin juke left, cut it back right, stayed on his feet, pounded down to the 8. Second down from there for Butler. Here come the Aviators back up to the line. 2 receivers to the right, 4.5 to go fourth quarter. 2nd and 5, Butler, 8-yard line of Sydney. And the Aviator coaching staff, Chuck, has gone through a lot of sign language on the near side to get that play called. And it's a running play outside left tackle for 1 or 2.
Nick Martin takes the handoff.
Apparently, Crane, the quarterback for Butler, knows which coach to view because 3 of them were going through a lot of gyrations.
Yep.
3rd down and 3 for Butler with less than 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
That's my favorite part of coaching baseball was to be the third base coach and get give signs.
to give signs or to fake like.
Oh, you know what? You missed the indicator.
And we've got a momentary delay down on the field. Don't think an official timeout was held.
No, I think they're still discussing the play clock. I think they're letting them know it's being hit on the field now.
Butler at the line of scrimmage. The center, Smith, over the ball. 3:56 to go in this game. 3rd down, 3 for Butler. Outside the 5 of Sydney, which trails 22-0. 2 receivers split right. Quarterback Chandler Crane takes the high snap at the 12, gives straight away to Martin, and Martin goes right through the gut of Sydney's defense, and he romps to the end zone. He's got the score from 6 yards out. Well, a huge opening was created by Vandalia Butler's offensive line, which has done a rock-solid job here tonight. The center, Tim Smith, a 5'10 senior. The guards, Tyler Hoops and Delshawn Williams. Hoops is a junior, Williams a senior. The tackles, Ben Sipes, who is just a, or I should say a Drew Sipes, Ben's brother, who is a senior. And the other tackle, big Curtis Davis, 6'3" senior, 255-pounder. That was the man right behind whom Martin trudged on that last play. He hammered into the end zone from six out. Extra point kick by Regali of Vandalia Butler is perfect. And with 3:37 left, Sydney trails 29-0 on scoresbroadcast.com.
The staff at Sydney Body Car Star understands that traffic accidents happen.
If you're involved in one, come to Sydney Body Car Star and relax. We'll take it from here.
Great growth in business led to recent expansion at Sydney Body Car Star, where you benefit from the very best collision repair technicians.
I take great pride in making sure that the details and color matches are exactly perfect.
Satisfaction guaranteed at Sydney Body Car Star.
Well, recently I had my vehicle there, and I was able to go online and view the progress they were making daily. This put my mind at ease and I was able to relax.
Using Sydney Body Car Star's advanced software program, AutoWatch, follow your car through the repair process from home.
Customers always come back and back and back at Sydney Body Car Star.
175 North Stolly in Sydney.
We're honest, we care, we're friendly and near. We're Car Star. Relax, we'll take it from here.
Phone 492-4783.
And here's the kickoff by Vandalia Butler through the end zone. Sydney starts first and 10 from its own 20. So many thanks to our great underwriting sponsors here tonight on scoresbroadcast.com, including Goffney Furniture. Don't miss out on the big values. Excellent furniture, priced just right at Goffney. That's on West Michigan Avenue, 2600 Michigan, Route 47 west of I-75 in Sydney. And for your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Go to the website for added savings, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Goffney Furniture, 2600 Michigan in Sydney. Short running play by the Yellow Jackets. Peyton Osborne still at quarterback.
Yes.
Deep handoff, offensive backfield, nothing doing.
Beer is the ball carrier.
Previous play went for four, but Beer is stonewalled on that one. Line of scrimmage, the 20. Right back to 10 yards to go for a first down. Third coming up. 2:50 to go in the fourth. Osborne sprints right. Dumps a pass to a receiver at the 22. He catches and is belted immediately. Sydney with fourth and 8 from its own 22. Hey, what, Chuck? Vandalia Butler's defense took a cue from Trotwood's a week ago. For the most part, hemmed in Andre Gordon. He tried to be elusive and get outside the hash marks. More often than not, Butler would not let him do it.
He had some nice runs, but they never let him get to the end zone.
No, and that's the key. Sydney moved the ball up and down the field, a few very productive marches, but couldn't get the final yards needed for points tonight and have been blanked. Here's a screen pass by Osborne to Beer, who catches back at the 17 and darts down the right sideline, 20, 25, 30. Connor Beer's got the first down. He's jammed out of bounds at the 34. Minute 59 to go, fourth quarter. Osborne to throw in the pocket, being harassed, and now he's pursued out of bounds at the 26. So many thanks tonight to American Architectural Glass in Clayton, Barker Insurance, North Edge of Sydney, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, Locale Equipment in Jackson Center, Sydney Body Car Star on Stolly in Sydney, U.S. Bank, 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine, the Sydney Daily News, Middendorf Builders in Fort Laramie. Talk to Mitch Middendorf about a custom home or about a beautiful wooded lot in the Timber Trail subdivision, south edge of Anna, off Route 25A. Anna Schools, I-75 close by, near Honda. Mitch Middendorf, Middendorf Builders in Fort Laramie. Here's a screen pass by Sydney, and it develops nicely, picks up six, but the Yellow Jackets held. Gratitude as well to Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville. Generation after generation of great service. Bluffton University's MBA program, finishing 2 years, go just one night a week. Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place quite like it. Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, a world-class supplier. Clancy's in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Goffney Furniture in Sydney. Go to the website for added savings at goffneyfurniture.com. Frisch's in Sydney. What's your favorite thing at Frisch's? And thanks to the In-Between just south of Botkins, where the food is not in between, it's out of this world. Plus John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. John gives you his best shot. Third and 25 for Osborne and Company for Sydney. And he uncorks a long one far side of the field near the 50. Picked off by Butler. A diving catch at the 45-yard line.
45-yard line by number 31. Marcus
Outstanding Simonis. Play by Marcus Simonis in the secondary, a 5'9 junior. He makes the intercept, and Butler's got it at the 45 of Sydney with under a minute to play here in the fourth quarter. These Anna community sponsors have been on the air with us as well. Adams Tech Solutions in Anna near McCartyville. On time, high tech computer solutions. And Wells Brothers Inc. in Anna, 8 expanding divisions, excellent workmanship at Wells Brothers Inc. in Anna. Timeout called down on the field by Vandalia Butler with 55.5 to go here in the fourth quarter of this game. Well, Chuck, next week it's Lehman Catholic at Fort Loramie, and that could be a very good football game. Quite a bit at stake for Lehman, which heading into this week was just on the outside looking in at the playoff picture, rated ninth. Fort Loramie has pulled off a couple wins in succession. Loramie was beating Ridgemont tonight. Redskins would be aiming for victory number 4 in a row next week.
That's always a good football game. I think Lehman might be a little better at this point, but there's not going to be any walkover.
No. That should be a fine contest. Hopefully we'll have good weather. The long-range forecast says that's the case. Here's Butler running on 1st and 10 from the 45.
There's your horse collar.
Yeah, there is indeed a clear-cut horse collar. Make no mistake about it. Sydney fouled at the 38 after a run of 7. 48 seconds to go here in the fourth quarter. Interestingly, Chuck, Peyton Osborne came into the game in the fourth period for Sydney tonight. Andre Gordon, a young man whom head coach Adam Dungis thought made some good strides last week. It was a learning lesson for him against Trotwood. Had a fine week of practice, but Vandalia Butler forced him to do some things at times tonight I don't think head coach Adam Dungis really cared for. A lot of ad-libbing again by Andre as this offense just unable to get the ball into the end zone. Running play Butler. It's a long to the 42. By the way, that horse collar was waved off.
Well, it was a horse collar because it was right in front of us.
21 seconds to go. We're winding down. That's going to do it. I think another timeout will stop play, or will it?
I think they're going to run it out.
That's all she wrote. Vandalia Butler, 4-2 coming in, advances to 5-2 with a home field victory tonight over the Sydney Yellow Jackets to the tune of 29-0. Four touchdowns for Butler, one two-point conversion, one missed PAT, one converted kick after score, plus a safety, and Sydney is blanked. Yellow Jackets also 4-2 coming in, now dropped to 4-3. Sydney returns home next week to take on Troy in the GWAC North. Sydney now 0-2 in the GWAC North division, 4-3 on the season. Butler keeps its playoff hopes alive, Chuck.
No doubt.
Yeah, this is a Butler team which wins tonight over Sydney. Butler was seventh in this region of Division II coming in and closing out the season the rest of the way. Butler has got contests with Greenville, Troy, and Trotwood week 10. Who knows? Butler may be playing for a playoff berth week 10 against Trotwood. We'll return to wrap it up. Our Clancy Star of the Game is next, back in a moment. Butler beat Sydney 29-0 on scoresbroadcast.com.
Meet the team at Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine. Our physicians, trainers, and therapists are highly skilled and treat injuries unique to student athletes. Wilson Athletic Trainers serve specific schools and are on site at sports contests. The Injured Athlete Clinic is open Mondays. Sports enhancement programs boost strength, speed, and flexibility. Phone 937-498-5548 or visit wilsonhospital.com. Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine in Sydney, keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center markets in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCal supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCal Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
Here at Vandalia Butler tonight, the Aviators defeat Sydney by a score of 29-0. Vandalia Butler over the Yellow Jackets 29-0. We understand that Riverside is leading Upper Soda Valley 14-0 in the fourth. If that holds, it's a four-way tie for first in the Northwest Central Conference.
There you go.
How about that? And that's what Layman Catholic wanted tonight to happen. And it's occurring. Riverside leads Upper Soda Valley 14-0. That score courtesy of Ken Barhorst, sports editor, Sydney Daily News, who also informs us that Troy, believe it or not, leads Trotwood still in the fourth by a 14-6 count.
That's amazing.
And that one is incredulous. 14-6 Troy over Trotwood. Obviously, Trotwood was, what should we say, a little reticent about playing this week after thumping Sydney last week and believing it had another roller coaster ride, an easy victory again tonight, and it's not happening.
Well, I'm sure that in defense of the coaching staff at Trotwood, it's real hard for them to get those kids up to play Sydney and Piqua and Greenville and Troy. It's got to be hard for them to get them up because the kids aren't going to believe when you tell them that anybody on any given night can play with. They're well-coached teams. They got athletes. They can play with you, and they're finding that out the hard way tonight.
And you're right. It is difficult to motivate them. They know the score, and by that I mean 33 straight wins in GWAC North and seven straight GWAC North titles. And eventually, at some point in time, you think you can throw your helmet on the field and win the ball game.
I'm finding my Clancy's player of the game.
Player of the game tonight for the Sydney Yellow Jackets, who performed top star.
We're going to go with Dillian King.
Good one.
He had an outstanding game defensively.
Sure did.
I thought defensively they gave up 29, but they played okay. The offense just couldn't put the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, Dillian King made a number of textbook-like hits. His tackling technique was phenomenal tonight. He was outstanding out wide and in the secondary. He was all over the field. Dillian King wins the honor of the Clancy's Award tonight. Clancy's, Wapak Avenue in Sydney. Nothing fancy, just fantastic food.
Hot, delicious home-cooked meals are a hit at Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney. All-you-can-eat fish on Friday, chicken on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally like the international cuisine at Clancy's. The first and third Wednesday of each month, we plan our schedules around it. I especially like the Greek and Chinese cuisine.
Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Without traveling to Dayton, I can enjoy authentic international cuisine right here in Sydney.
Teens fill their tummies at Clancy's, too.
Oh, the young crowd loves Clancy's. I always see them at after-school activities with the brown Clancy's to-go bags, and I just know they love them and they love the sandwiches.
And what's your favorite sandwich at Clancy's?
Oh, definitely the topper. It's probably my favorite sandwich over all the Wendy's or Burger King sandwiches.
Eat in, drive up, order out. Clancy's, 1250 Wapak in Sydney. Phone ahead at 492-8820.
Clancy's is priced just right for the whole family.
Daily dinner specials under $7, complete breakfast under $4 at Clancy's.
Dillian King, standout performance defensively for the Sydney Yellow Jackets, who are beaten tonight by a very good Vendaya Butler team. Final tally, 29-0. Again, for the second straight week, Chuck, Sydney did not get off to a good start, fell behind early, could not recover, did have chances to make this an interesting game, had opportunities to push the ball into the end zone in the third quarter. A TD in that third period would have made the fourth mighty interesting, but the Jackets could never put the pressure on the Aviators tonight.
Well, I mean, they did a pretty good job. They held Butler to 300 yards defensively. That's not a bad. But they only had 251, and Butler's defense tonight was as good as I have seen this season.
And Sydney needed to run the ball effectively tonight. That was the message of head coach Adam Dungis in the pregame, to help make the passing game for Andre Gordon work. And the running game was snuffed out by Vendaya Butler from the second quarter on, pretty much.
Well, they averaged less than 3 yards a carry. Yeah,
there you go.
That's not going to do it.
Nope, that sums it right up. Again, second half scores. These are incomplete scores. These are not finals for you. Anna led Delta St. John's late in the third by a score of 14-0. Understand that Fort Loramie was ahead of Ridgemont 21-0. That was at the half. A partial score, fourth quarter. It's not a completed game, but Detroit was upsetting Trotwood by a count of 14-6. I didn't get a score on Lehman Catholic and Dola Harden Northern. Lehman, a heavy favorite going into that game. And the last count we had was Fort Recovery over Minster by a 12-0 score. That was a 7:30 start, so there's no way that could be a final
right
at this point.
And Piqua, last score I got from Mick Leffel over in Greenville, 35-7 Piqua. That was early in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. And Sydney has got Piqua in a couple weeks. Next week, Sydney's at home against Troy. The last two games away at Piqua, at Greenville. Final two contests for Sydney. Well, the weather panned out pretty well. It was cool, breezy, no rain. In fact, the wind virtually died down to nothing over the course of the contest. But to Vendaya Butler, clearly the better team here tonight at Butler High School. For Rhett Gish, our scoresbroadcast.com chief engineer, for Chuck McBee alongside Stats Color On-Site Engineering, I'm Jack Kramer saying good night from here at Butler High School. Next week, we are at Fort Loramie as the Lehman Cavaliers take on the Fort Loramie Redskins. Final tally, once again, Butler 29, Sydney nothing.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.